It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. We have a fantastic show. Everybody's in studio. Jason Heiner from Tech Republic, all about Android's Florence Ion. From Crunchbase News, Alex Wilhelm. We're talking about the new Pixel 2s. In fact, Florence has hers. Tony Fadell suing Andy Rubin. Lightroom Bro, the new version, just for you. 11 herbs and spices. Twitter's safety schedule and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 637, recorded Sunday, October 22nd, 2017. 11 verified herbs and spices. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/twit2. And by WordPress. When you create your small business website on WordPress.com, you make it easier for your customers to find you. WordPress guides you through the process from start to finish, and you'll get 15% off any new planned purchase at WordPress.com/twit. And by Betterment, the largest independent online financial advisor, for a free 5-minute investment review helping you assess your investment accounts, tax strategies, fees, and risk exposure. Visit Betterment.com/twit. No sign up required. And by Audible. Audible makes getting more books in your life easy. Sign up for the Gold Plus One plan to get 2 free books and a 30-day free trial at audible.com/twit2. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the latest tech news. This is real. I always love it when we get everybody in studio. And today we have an all-in-studio show, and I'm thrilled. Jason Heiner, who's normally in Louisville, is here.
I wish I was a hologram. And
that'd be cool.
Here, but like as a hologram.
You're no
but
Tupac,
I am analog. Soon. That's digital. This is analog. Analog Jason.
When
here.
We originally designed the show, that was my plan. I even talked to somebody who said they could do it with standard PCs. And someday maybe we'll have like 3D
like
holographic.
The Disneyland ghosts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pepper's nice. Illusion. Hey, that's nice. Florence Ion.
Hi.
Oh, that flow.
Hi.
Also
every,
analog.
Every I always think of the Progressive. Is it Progressive? Geico? Who is Flo?
I'm selling you insurance.
Yeah, but you're not.
Oh, the all-white insurance. Commercials with yeah. the awkward shelves and yeah. the, like the overly peppy person?
Yeah, yeah actually, in the latest one, she's hiding in the closet of a little boy's room along with
a monster. That's so weird. I don't,
yeah.
I don't get that.
I understand that commercial.
Insurance ads are bad because they're out of ideas. They have been for a long time. It's it's a pizza.
I disagree.
Geico.
The insurance ads are the best ads. Geico's ads? Progressive says those are the best ads.
The fact that we're talking about it, they succeeded, right?
Oh my gosh, we're part of the problem.
We know the
we're
name.
We're part of the machine.
Because most of them are so forgettable, you never pay attention. If it's terrible, but you talk about it later, like they won.
Geico is so weird that they have different campaigns. They have a gecko.
Yep.
And then they have the
right.
weird, have like, the, like, you would never do this.
The non sequitur.
Non sequitur ones.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I hate. The ones that make no sense.
That's my
the
humor.
Famous Alex Wilhelm. He's editor-in-chief of the new Crunchbase News. Is that crunchbase.com?
Crunchbase.com is the main site. .news is our stuff.
Nice. Crunchbase.news.
Wow. Vanity URL. I know, big time.
Speaking of vanity URLs, he's at Alex on the Twitter. That's vain.
Lucky.
Vanity. Vanity all around, yeah.
Bought it off a guy in 2008.
You bought it off a guy?
Yeah. I told the story like every 3 months, I feel. I bought it. I was not early enough to get it. I don't deserve that credibility. I bought it off a guy in 2008.
Was he in an alley somewhere?
Yeah, I know. Craigslist?
He was in Mexico, actually.
You want to buy a handle?
He was in Mexico.
I PayPal'd him my only $60, and he gave me the handle.
That's awesome. It?
I didn't have any more money.
That's like the guy who bought a pizza for 10,000 bitcoins.
Oh, gosh, that guy.
Oh, that flow is a good Twitter handle. You're
Jason Heiner.
Yeah. I'm Leo Laporte. We just aren't creative enough. Jason.
I know. Yeah.
Oh,
I know.
That flow. That sounds so good.
That's good. That's good stuff.
So I'm glad we're starting in a light note because I have a heavy thing to talk about, and we won't spend a lot of time on it because it's not a tech story, but as it applies to somebody who's a regular on the show and a guy I know very well, I've known for 20 years. We're talking about the Scoble story, and I'm sure many of you saw the Medium post, which Scoble was accused of totally inappropriate behavior at a O'Reilly food camp. And that's been confirmed, by the way, by the O'Reilly publicist, who said, yeah, and he was banned from then on from going to food camp. So that's a true story. It was before Robert got sober. He very publicly got sober 2 years ago. But now two more women have come forward to accuse him of harassment. And I know Robert very well. I know this. Others have heard stories about Robert. I had never heard any of these stories. I was at that food camp, went to bed before the incident happened, and never heard anything the next day. So while it's not a complete surprise, because I knew Robert was pretty wild in his drunken days, it is very sad to me. And I really love Robert. On the other hand, I don't love what he did. And that if there's any good to come out of this, I hope that this will be a message to all men that that's not okay. And more importantly, that it's no longer going to be kept secret. Because it does happen. It happens every day. I don't know a woman who it hasn't happened to. But men have bound together and had kept this stuff secret, and many of the victims are afraid for good reason to say anything about it. That's changing, and I think that's for the better. I hope Robert gets help. I know he wants to. He has apologized. I care a lot about him, and I know he knows he did something terrible. And let's hope it doesn't happen again, and more importantly, hope that this sets a tone that keeps it's happening everywhere. Tech is not immune to it. So this is the time for all of us to say that's not going to happen anymore, right? Women are going to be respected as equals, going to be treated as partners, and not as sexual objects. So as a woman, do you have anything you want to add to that, Flo? I mean, I don't want to be just a guy talking about this, but I feel like I had to bring it up because I know everybody knows Robert's been a regular here. He was here 3 weeks ago.
I think the important thing is to take away from all this is to believe women when they say something. That's the important thing. I mean, we have bred a culture here. Society as a culture in the United States particularly, we've bred a culture that allows this sort of thing to fly under the radar. And, you know, we just believe
yeah.
her when she says yeah. something to
and
you.
And guys, don't, if you see it happening, stop it.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
To begin with.
And help others not to do it.
And if you see something happening, yeah. stand up and say something. Yeah. Report it to HR or, you know, whomever in your organization.
Well, and that's part of the problem is that HR...
HR is not always there and HR
as we know with Uber and Susan Fowler's story.
Yeah. They're on the side HR of the corporation. They're not on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's sad for me for all many, many reasons. And I hope Robert gets help and can renovate or rejuvenate his reputation because at this point, I doubt he'll be asked to speak. I don't think this man will have work.
The word radioactive was invented for
radioactive
this situation.
Radioactive is a good word for it. All right, enough of that. I felt like I had to say something because I know people are watching saying, well, what does Leo have to say about this? You know, it was at the top of tech meme this morning. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is a nightmare. Robert did apologize on Facebook. But I think impairment, being an alcoholic is no excuse.
It's not.
Although seeking treatment is somewhat mitigating because he acknowledges that he had a problem and he hit bottom and he did something really bad or many things really bad. And he's trying to make amends for that. So
it's an active step.
It's a step. And I support him in that. And, okay. So you brought something fun. Let's cheer up. Flo, when we did the Google
event. Gadget porn.
Gadget porn. When you're right, you can add porn to almost anything. When we this is a
if you missed the pre-show, they made a lot more sense before.
What was it you said? Because I want it to be the title.
Milo Notice is
of disaster porn.
Of disaster porn.
The Milo and Orson of disaster porn. Just put a pin in that for the title. We'll figure out some way to incorporate it into the show. So when you were here, when we did the Google announcement of the Pixels.
We did.
You and I both ordered
we
a
did.
Pixel.
We did. We took a break from talking live.
Yep. I ordered a Panda with an orange button.
You did.
I will not see it for months.
You also ordered Panda with the purported display issues that have been going crazy amok all over the
place. I want to talk about that because I went into a Verizon store on Friday to take a look and to try to get one and I couldn't.
Yeah.
But you were smart. You ordered the Pixel 2.
I did. I ordered the Pixel 2. Personally, I will say I ordered it because this is the one made by HTC and I just, I kind of feel like HTC is going to maybe, I don't know, I kind of trusted them in this batch.
Oh, you might have been
bezels
right.
Bezels don't bother you?
No.
It's pretty old-fashioned looking, isn't it?
Listen.
Here, let me take a...
I mean, this is the Pixel 1. I mean, it's got giant bezels. I'm not judging.
Yeah, I got the Pixel XL.
I'm not judging.
Yeah. No, I mean, but then think about my privilege as a reviewer. Yeah. Like, if I don't want bezels, I can just grab another phone.
This is the phone... Yeah. That you could have.
I got that phone too.
No bezels.
Oh, never mind.
Sorry.
That's a Note 8.
Yeah.
The thing you did avoid, though, is that blotchy, so-called blotchy screen, the LG OLED, P-OLED that they put into the XL, same one that's in the V30.
Which I'm using, by the way, and this is not a pre-production unit.
Do you notice the blotch?
No, there's no blotch. Yeah. I mean, it's blue tinted when you tint it to the side, but that's just the OLED panel. It was my understanding.
I went into the Verizon store because they have an exclusive. Went in on Friday to get it, or at least look at it. They have the slider turned all the way up on brightness. Of course, that makes it look better.
Yeah.
So the first thing you do is you turn off automatic dimming and you turn the brightness down, and that's when you look to see, well, is it blotchy? And it's okay. Admittedly. It is blotchy. There's the way they dim it seems to be by turning pixels off selectively or something like that. But if you hadn't said something, I would never have noticed it. I don't think it's gonna be a deal breaker.
It's a huge. But the thing is, the Android community is not okay with this. Because,
especially Reddit. You go to Reddit and it's like, I mean, that's
Reddit every day on every topic. I know, that's not special.
But like, if this happened to Apple, though. This would be a huge deal. Like, people would be returning their phones, which I think is going to happen.
It would never happen to Apple, only because of preconceived expectations.
Yeah.
People are not going to look at an Apple screen, no matter how bad, and say that's bad.
But they had the bend gate or whatever. They had, and then the couple before that, they had the antenna issues, the antenna gate. So I just mean to say that, like, minor little things for a company like Apple, I feel, might get more exposure.
Maybe. They bought the Samsung OLEDs for the iPhone X, although they have a deal with LG as well. But they are using the Samsung OLEDs in the iPhone X. So
the iPhone X, a little notch at the top, is getting very bad reviews. I mean, on the outline, there was a long piece about how Apple's bad at design for that reason. So I feel like they are getting picked apart for small design issues now. I think 3 years ago, the argument made more sense that people just wouldn't care.
Right.
I think that shine is now... falling away.
I don't know. You remember the mouse that you charged by putting the thing in the bottom of it? So you
I use it
use
every
it?
Day, and it's hilarious.
Do you remember? Well, yeah, on your iPad Pro, the way you charge the pencil is you stick it in the charging port, so you can't. Where it could spray broken. I mean, Apple's not perfect. They're not flawless.
Oh, I agree with that entirely. I'm not a fanboy of either team, but I feel like the Android community's anger about the screen issue could be the fact that they're just very, very serious about this, and the average person in the public won't care.
It's also an expensive device. I forgot how much the XL2 costs off the top of my head.
$930.
Yeah. And come on, you're getting like display issues now. This phone I only paid.
Let's unbox it.
$654 or something around there.
Such a deal. You got the 128?
I got the 64 gig Pixel 2, which is manufactured by HTC.
Why did you not get 128?
I didn't want to pay that much.
Yeah, good reason. I mean, that's a good reason.
She wanted to have money instead of storage.
64 is enough.
I bought this is my own money, that's why.
Unless you put a lot of music on it or videos, it's enough.
Yeah, and I back up my photos all the time to Google Photos. I take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So this is my first, this is my unboxing of it, by the way.
Let's see. Hold it. I don't know if you
did it just arrive?
This arrived a couple days ago, but because I've been using the V30, I have not unboxed it because I'm trying to experience the V30 as a LG device.
How do you do that? You have it and you don't open it?
You know what? I'm not going anywhere cool soon, so I don't need to. The photo capabilities
I tear the box open.
I just took this out of the box today. It was still in the FedEx box. So, Alex, if you don't mind holding the phone.
I do not mind.
Alex is going to hold the phone. I'm just going to show what's in the box because we're unboxing this.
Do you get headphones?
Instruction manual. A connector, I believe, for connecting to another phone.
That's
to transfer
your data. On-the-go connector, yeah.
A charging cord.
It's USB-C to A.
And, of course, the dongle, which
so you don't get... This is some complaint people had, was you don't get Type-C headphones. You just get an adapter.
Yep.
And no headphones.
Do not get, and then an adapter inside, so yeah. There's no headphones, and that is the Pixel. Wow, it really is nice.
Yeah, this is actually gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous phone.
You got the almost white, sort of white. What's it called?
Kind
of white.
Kind of white. I think it was clearly white.
Clearly white.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't think I was going to like it, but now that I have it in my hand, this feels fantastic.
Well, let's turn it on.
Squeeze it.
Oh, I
don't know how to turn it on. Android confuses me.
Squeeze
it's a power button.
Jason, you're
you have
a Pixel.
There's a Pixel, yeah. And I've got a Pixel XL 2 coming. Yeah.
Yours arriving? Because mine's not until November 14th. It's like,
I mean, look.
Mine's like November 8th or something. Yeah.
Look, it says hi to me.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi to me.
Excellent greetings.
So, yeah, that's the Pixel 2. Now, it's...
I want to ask, can I touch it? But in light of I don't think I better say anything. No, I'm just kidding.
It's okay. It's
Leo.
I won't. It's going to get worse. So just.
I know. I'm stuck in this chair for 2 hours.
So this is metal, but it's a soft touch metal. Is what people said. It's painted, so it does feel like maybe like plastic. It's soft touch. But it feels
like
metal.
That because an all-glass phone slips off the table with every little thing. And it's so fingerprinty.
No, I think this is actually pretty compared. The Pixel XL has these same large bezels. It's not doing the...
That's okay.
I can't squeeze it.
Oh, well, because it's not... I haven't set up anything yet.
Where are you
going
to squeeze it? This part, because if you have the buttons there...
Metal. See how much more slippery?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Notice that. Isn't that nice? A soft touch.
I could hold onto that a lot better.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time convincing my mother to switch to the Pixel XL, the first gen. She really wants a Samsung. So, this is what's going on in my house right now. A
couple of things we'll want to know about next time you're here is photography, how good the camera is.
Yeah, I think I have to set it up.
Yep.
And then I have to start.
Yeah, we can't do it today. This is a first look.
I didn't get a chance to hold it.
Unboxing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please.
Don't deprive the nerd of his time with the new phone.
I think it's actually surprisingly nice, and now I may be regretting that I...
Well, I want to know what the Pixel 2 XL is like. I'm supposed to be hopefully getting one tomorrow and Monday to bring onto the Android show.
So Tuesday and All About Android, you'll see the XL and the XL2.
I want to see what the display is like.
The 2 and the 2 XL.
Yeah. I want to know what happened in manufacturing. Why do we, why is the
Google
V30
has
beautiful?
Said
and
we can add new settings, which we plan to do color settings for more vibrant colors. But of course, if there's a flaw in the panel, there's nothing they can do about that. But they do say there's some software changes they're going to make. That will maybe make people feel better about that.
There's a lot of investigation going down right now to see who the perpetrator is, who started this display issue.
Who's to blame effectively?
Who is to blame effectively? Is it Google? Is it LG? Is it
One of the things you might want to do is immediately sign up for the Oreo beta, because that way you'll get 8.1, which turns on that system on a chip in there that's just for the camera. This is a dedicated image processor that isn't active right now.
True.
But the developer beta has it, and presumably the public beta.
But the problem with having 8.1 is that a lot of apps, and because I cover a lot of IoT now, don't work with the new version of Android. Which is partly why I've stuck with the V30, is so that I can actually use these apps that I need to set up light bulbs and to set up all my IoT switches around the house. That's one reason I've been kind of avoiding switching to stock Android.
Okay. Yep. I think it's amazing. I mean, what Apple's done with the A11 Bionic, what Google's doing with custom silicon, this is an 8-core dedicated processor that's not even turned on right now, just sitting there with DDR4 in there. This is a very sophisticated processor.
Is that the SoC just for the camera? Mm-hmm.
Just for the camera.
Whoa!
For HDR Plus. An 8-core.
Oh, now I kind of want one. Dang it.
And this is so that other apps can start using it, which is why they're opening it up for developers, so that you can maybe go into Instagram and actually use this functionality on your phone versus whatever the Instagram tweaking is for your camera app.
Yeah, these processors on these phones are getting serious. I'm sure you guys have seen some of the benchmarks on the A11. Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous.
It's faster than a MacBook Pro.
We've done some testing to try some of it out, and have been able to replicate some of what some of these benchmarks have shown. It's impressive stuff. So this is cool too. Look forward to sort of running this through its paces and seeing what kind of driving really more powerful things, especially video, photo, multimedia kind of things, which tends to be slow. It's one of the more frustrating things on a phone, is that some of the multimedia stuff is just kind of cumbersome and slow and not very impressive. So it's a good sign.
Google Pixel 2, as Google was quick to say, has the highest DxOMark score ever of 98. But that's the single number score. The actual still photo score for the Huawei Mate 10 Pro is better.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you have to dig deep. And kudos to Marcus Brownlee, who did a whole video on why you shouldn't use that top line number when you look at DxOMark. You have to look at... These guys look at everything and look at all the numbers. Huawei got marked down a little bit because its video wasn't as good as Google, and so it ended up with a lower total number. But photo number, look at that. 100.
Wow.
100.
Wow.
So the average is lower because it's got a 91 on mobile, which is still not bad.
That's still pretty good.
And I have to wonder, you know, is 2-point difference enough to notice? But still, that's amazing.
Interesting.
So the Mate is kind of interesting. I don't know if I can live with their custom Android UI.
Yeah, that stuff's it's one of the heavier ones.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. It's so heavy.
Yeah.
It's like eating a really greasy tuna casserole. It's so good.
What?
And you want to keep shoving it in your mouth, but it's just so heavy and you're going to regret it afterwards.
Seafood is disgusting, and that analogy is foul.
Okay, chicken tetrazzini.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that, which is super, super heavy, and you're just like on the couch like,
Start speaking Italian for no reason. Yes.
Yeah.
This Mate 10 Pro comes with dual Leica lenses. They partnered with Leica.
Yeah.
And their f1.6, which is, I think, the fastest camera.
That's the lowest I've seen.
Yep.
Yeah. Lowest
for
aperture.
A smartphone.
Yeah, I've seen it on a
smartphone. It was 1.7.
Pretty impressive. So, you know, I think I can't remember another time when we've had two flagship phones, the iPhone 8 and the Note 8, about to be eclipsed like 3 weeks after they come out by the Pixel 2 XL and the iPhone 10. That is bizarre.
But different customers, different customer bases. I mean, nobody...
Do you think normal people, though, must be... And then if they look at these reviews, you're right. Most people probably just walk into the store and say, what do you... Yeah. Or what do you give me? Because I still hear people...
They'll give you a Moto X or a Moto Z.
Yeah.
Moto Z.
I talk to people all the time who have like the Samsung Insignia portfolio. And I say, what's that? He's, well, I got it free. You know, it's like some crap. Android 4 phone or something. Most people, when they walk into store, that's what they're getting. They're not.
Person on the street's never heard of the Mate 8. You know.
Yeah.
Well, no, because
I hadn't heard of the Mate 10.
Huawei is the thing is their unlocked phones work here, but they don't have any carrier backing, so you don't have.
They're not even for sale in the U.S. yet.
Yeah.
But, they say they're gonna.
They won't. Who knows if they're going to work with all the carriers here. So it's like, why would I import a phone that scores so well on DxOMark when I can get an unlocked Pixel 2 that works anywhere in the world and is supported by Google's update system?
What about Essential? That Essential phone by Andy Rubin?
Oh, since the software update?
They have pushed 3 updates that I remember to the camera.
Okay.
And at this point, it's fine. But doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because it's too late. They sold 5,000 of them.
Was that confirmed? I saw that story.
Sprint said it.
Oh, no. Ooh, that's just sad.
So, I mean, they must have sold more unlocked. I bought an unlocked one, but but probably not much more.
Yeah.
And that's a sad state because that was a very interesting small form factor, interesting material, ceramic and titanium. Unfortunately, and this is why I don't do pre-production reviews, all of the Essential phone reviews were with pre-pro models.
Mm.
They all complained about the camera.
Oh.
And while I think the camera, I had problems with the purchased model that I got, they fixed it within a few weeks. But that doesn't matter. It's done.
The damage is done.
The damage is done. Yep. It's over. Nobody's going to buy that phone. And I feel bad for Andy, although he's being sued now. Did you see this?
Happens.
I wonder.
I regret bringing this up now. This is like the poor Andy Rubin show.
What did he do in a previous life? So now there's a company who claims that actually it's a pretty bad claim
from when he was on at Android on Android
Essential that they talked to a company. They said we want to know about your technology. Maybe we're going to acquire you. That made the wireless connect technology that's, I believe, used in the little doohickeys that you adapt to the phone. They had sent 20 engineers over. They did, you know, all the due diligence. This is that old Microsoft technique, the engulf and devour technique, where you find out everything you can about a product. And then you say, hey, you know, we thought about it. We're going to go with another guy and make a duplicate product. So they're being sued now for that.
by Tony Fadell.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention that.
That's the best wrinkle in all this. Well, we're speaking about people with good tempers.
This is Tony Fadell, the soap opera.
One of the designers of the iPod who then went off to start Nest and then left Nest kind of under a dark cloud, right?
Well, I mean, Nest has only done so well as part of the Alphabet family.
Yeah. So I guess if I really wanted, I could have got some link bait. I buried the lead. I should have said Tony Fadell sues Andy Rubin.
See, there you go.
Tony Fadell backed.
Yeah.
I don't know that Tony's involved. But,
no.
But
I know, but that's where, that's good, why you I and I don't get the links, right?
It's true.
We're too honest. But
what does that say about this side of the table, first of all? If you're only looking that way when you say that comment.
No. Kisa is the name of the company. It was started in 2009. They say they were in talks with Essential for 10 months. They sent engineers over. And then Essential backed out, but made something strangely similar.
That looks almost exactly like, yeah. It's kind of like that movie Coming to America, where it's like, no, we're much McDowell's. We're McDowell's, they're McDonald's, you know? Their bun has seeds, our bun doesn't have any seeds.
It's different.
It's different.
It's a different thing.
Completely different.
Or like Vanilla Ice.
I was just about to say, Queen.
No, his was ding, 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 da, da, ding, ding. Ours is ding, 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 da, ding, ding. Yeah. Like that.
You young people, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Queen is not for young people.
He sampled the...
Vanilla Ice was in Queen?
No. Exactly.
He was the lead singer after Freddie Mercury.
I mean, rest in peace.
His song stole the bass line from Under Pressure, right?
Under Pressure. I got it.
Yeah.
And that's the same as Ice Ice Baby?
Well, yes. Ice Ice Baby goes dun 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 dun.
Well, that's not a...
We don't have to do this again.
I get it.
There's a whole VH1 special about it out there somewhere.
Beyond the Music, people. This week.
It was Beyond the Music.
So what was the outcome of that? Was there a lawsuit? Or they just...
Yeah, I think he lost.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember, guys. You're going to have to...
Chat room.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wait, you're younger than me, actually. You'll have to...
There's nobody younger than Alex. He's the youngest.
No, that's not really that true anymore.
It's not.
It's getting every year that goes by. That's less true.
There's more babies born.
No, just people show up in the industry now that are like 23.
And
I'm like,
what am I doing with my life?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I saw that happen to Mark Millian. Mark Millian was the boy genius, the wonder kid who was hired at like 21 to write for the LA Times. Now he's some old slob. He's some old guy. He's not a kid anymore.
We become old slobs at one point. I mean, life is hard.
We're all slobs until someone comes over for dinner.
Let's take a break. I want to talk more about all sorts of stuff. There's lots to talk about. A great panel, Jason Heiner from Tech Republic, CBS Interactive in studio. I love that. What are you in town for?
Meetings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meetings.
Nothing exciting.
I was
wondering, conference or event or anything.
If you came out to the West Coast for Adobe Max, because... I got to talk about this. I'm in pain over what they did to Lightroom.
We have a lot of coverage on that from Ant Pruitt, who's on the show.
Ant's great.
Which is
Love
awesome.
Ant.
Yeah, he writes for Tech Republic, and he's got a lot of coverage on the
sure
Adobe
Ant's
Max
just
stuff.
As upset as everybody is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Adobe's going for the money, I guess. Also, Florence Ion from All About Android. Wonderful to have you. Oh, that flow. No relation to Progressive.
No, not at all.
And Alex Wilhelm, the boy wunder, used to be, former wunderkind.
I feel like that was never really true either.
I know. Crunchbase News, crunchbase.news. Great to have all three of you. It's nice to have you in studio. It's fun. I think we should break out the booze. Oh, no, never mind. I'm sorry.
I got the booch.
You got the kombucha?
I got the kombucha.
There's alcohol in that, right?
I mean, like it's a tiny bit.
That's my excuse.
Gives you a nice little...
And Pepsi, and what are you? You know,
water.
Water. Very nice.
That's why he's so trim.
This is the water side of the table. You know,
you just keep trying to divide this. I don't know why. Like, we can all just change chairs. Like, we could flow in the
old
middle.
Old people, young people.
You can put Leo in the parking lot. That's true.
People with hair, people with no hair. I don't know. It's just our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. My friends, I have to tell you a sad tale of woe. When we bought our house 4 years ago, we made the mistake of going to a bank. Going to a bank, the big bank, the bank with the stagecoach and the horses and the whips. And I mean whips. It took them almost 2 months to get us a home loan, so long that we almost lost the house. And the thing that bugged us most was they kept coming back saying, well, okay, we need some more documents. We need some more documents. At one point we said, could you just ask for everything you want? We'll get them all together. We went on vacation and we were still faxing stuff from vacation to this big bank. Now, thank God, you don't have to do that anymore.
The big bank is still the number one lender in the country. Number two lender, but the best in my heart, Quicken Loans. I know you've heard about them. They're revitalizing Detroit, the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, right? I mean, these guys are super cool, and they love geeks. And they realized that this process that Lisa and I went through a few years ago, it's not appropriate anymore. We live in the age of technology, of the internet, of computers. So they created an entirely online mortgage approval process. You can do it from your phone. You just go to rocketmortgage.com/twit and the number two, rocketmortgage.com/twit2. But here's the thing. In the time it took us to drive to the bank to apply for a loan, you can get a loan on Rocket Mortgage. Because you don't have to get any paperwork. You don't have to go anywhere. You could do it from an open house. Say, look, let's buy this house. Go to rocketmortgage.com/twit2. You give them some basic information. They have trusted relationships with all the financial institutions, so they can get what they need. You just have to give them permission. You say, okay, go out. They go out. They get the numbers. They crunch them. And within minutes, because it's computers, within minutes, based on your income, your assets, and your credit, they're going to analyze all the home loan options out there. They're going to give you the ones for which you qualify. You choose the rate, the term, the down payment, and you're done. You're approved. You could show the realtor at that open house, look, we're approved. Let's take it. That's it. In fact, it's dangerous. It's so easy. Rocket, so make sure you want that house before you go to rocketmortgage.com/twit2. It's never been easier to refi, never been easier to buy. I love this. This is how it should have been all along. Rocketmortgage.com/twit2. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. Yeah, maybe you're not buying a house today, but bookmark it so when you do, you'll be ready. Rocketmortgage.com/twit2. We thank them so much for their support of this week in tech.
I feel like that ad that makes me sad to be a Californian because I'm like, oh my gosh, I should buy a house. And then I look at any sort of real estate listing and then I just burst into tears.
Did you see somebody published on Twitter a list of houses in Seacliff, the San Francisco's?
Oh, don't do that to me. That's like the raw.
Seacliff is a great.
That's where Robin Williams lived. About to say, yeah.
And Dianne Feinstein and a lot of very famous people.
You have to be a master of the universe. Basically.
They started at $3 million. I mean, it was
started
crazy.
It's Seacliff.
There was $22 million houses.
No, I'm not rich enough.
You know, to be fair, you actually can't see that view because it's gated off. You can drive up there and it's like gated off.
Wow. Even the Google cars haven't been there, huh?
Probably not.
Yeah.
And if Google can't afford it.
Just to clarify, I did look up Vanilla Ice the Queen threatened to sue Vanilla Ice.
Oh, they didn't actually sue.
He settled out of a court and agreed to pay the royalties. He did lose.
You got me, man. Yeah. I sampled it.
He paid.
I'm glad he did that.
That's very responsible of him. Good on you, Vanilla Ice.
Good job stealing and then paying for it.
So, what was the San Francisco? Somebody did. Okay, here it is. This is a story that is some revenge, I think, for the prices in San Francisco. Presidio Terrace, right next to Seacliff. Very nice area.
Wow. Beautiful house.
Beautiful area.
This is real estate porn.
They hadn't paid their taxes on the median strips. It's an oval-shaped street, gated, sealed off, lined with towering pine trees, million-dollar mansions, famous residents. That's where Dianne Feinstein lives, Nancy Pelosi. So the city, San Francisco, had an unpaid tax bill. They auctioned off to Michael Chen and his wife, Tina, the sidewalks, the street, and the common ground areas for $90,000.
What?
So they own the stuff around the house.
They own everything around the house. It turns out the Homeowners Association for Presidio Terrace had failed to pay the $14 a year property tax.
Sorry.
$14 a year. So they put it up for sale. $90,100 bid in April 2015. And everybody's wondering, well, what are they going to do with it? They could charge residents to park on their own street.
Oh, that's so mean.
No. That's awesome. Hashtag capitalism.
As legal owners of this property, we have a lot of options. I think that's the best reform. That's
good.
That's
for their house.
I was going to say put a big tax the rich sign right there in the median. Just like leave it up
hysterical?
All the time.
Wow. That's wild.
$14 a year bill. They forgot to pay it. Who
$14.
Knew? That is not tech, but we brought up San Francisco.
Sorry, I got us off track again.
The house prices are so expensive in San Francisco because of Kevin
tech.
Rose. So,
hold on, Kevin Rose?
Kevin Rose's fault.
He's in New York now.
It's also Zuckerberg's fault.
He apologized for it. in that video.
Did he really?
Oh, yes.
It's not his fault,
obviously. No, some people came to his house to protest like rising rents back in 2014. Yeah, he came out to talk to them and said, sorry about the rents.
Actually, I think, okay, I hope I'm not really revealing a secret. Edit this out if I'm saying. Kevin and Daria, his wife, beautiful wife, have moved back to San Francisco, and any day now, could be right now, they could be having a baby. She is due today.
Good for him.
Isn't that nice? Nice story.
I hope they live in a good school district.
I think they can afford any school they want.
I don't think it matters, yeah.
Just guessing.
Has Apple's pace of innovation slowed? Eddie Q says, I disagree vehemently.
Of course you do. Come on.
I think
he wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't.
I think we've been incredibly innovative. Q pointed out that the iPad and Apple Watch launched after the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Apple historically has a track record of coming out with industry-defining products.
Well, you got to look at that. The iPhone is such an anomaly.
That's the problem.
The iPhone, having a hit like the iPhone that becomes a business that sells $75 million
a year. It's
like
Vanilla Ice and Ice Ice Baby. It just throws you off.
Yeah.
Or it's like if you're an NFL team and you go undefeated and you win the Super Bowl. Everything you do after that is going to be, you're not going to do
So they're like the
anything,
Patriots.
You know?
Well,
nobody's done it since.
Relevant football reference.
The Patriots are bad.
I don't want to get into this.
It's my one sports opinion.
There's nothing you can do that's going to live up to iPhone.
That's exactly
and
right.
And everything they got to do afterwards, they got to try really hard and be as good as they possibly can and know that everybody's going to say, like, you're just not as innovative as you used to be.
Well, they sold a lifestyle. What they're selling is a lifestyle. That's how you really get people to, like, latch onto that because, like, as a gadget head, I'm all about the, you know, what's got, like, the coolest specs? Look what actually has the better aperture, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't really know what you're talking about, Flo, and you need to stop with your gobbledygook, and I'm going to just go buy a nice iPhone because it looks good, it shoots pictures really well, it has all the apps that I want, and...
Normal people, that's what they do.
You're describing me. Like, I feel like that's my take, and I'm a fellow dork. Like, I wonder if that opinion is actually popular even among our social group.
I think it
group.
Is. Look
no,
at
it, four, is. Yeah. It is. It is. Even in the tech sphere, that's a popular opinion.
I just want the iPhone that will run Slack still.
Yeah, just why does it have to be
and
so
I think
hard?
There's
it's
a
less
lot
mental
of,
energy.
A lot of retro rationalization. They just you choose it for this gut thing because you're right. Apple's almost a fashion company. It's an emotional buy at this point.
Oh yeah.
But then you retro rationalize. You say, but it's more secure, right? And
iMessage, and iTunes is great.
And no,
Macs are better for development of some platforms.
I mean, all developers in my company are on Macs.
Yeah, my husband just bought a Mac because he realized he couldn't do all
on
Windows.
I noticed that we got two Macs here. You're using the new Touch Bar Mac with the butterfly keyboard. I'm sure you read the article in the outline. This is Joshua Topolsky's new publication about that keyboard and the space bar, right?
This is the Moat of Dust?
The Moat of Dust. Let me see if I can find
this
that article.
This is a great piece, by the way. If you haven't read it in its entirety, take the 5 minutes.
It wasn't a great tech piece. It was a great emotional
because that's
rant.
What happens. Your keyboard goes out. What are you supposed to do if that's your livelihood?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to dictate my stories?
And what happened is his space bar stopped working, and he took it to the Apple store, and they said, oh, yeah. By the way, the headline is...
I believe Casey Johnston,
who is very good. Bad tech. The new MacBook keyboard is ruining my life.
But I wonder what the piece is about.
It's so bad. It's like bad tech. It's so bad. So he brought it in. The genius said, yeah, that's going to be $800 for a new keyboard. We can't fix it. Because unlike every keyboard I've ever used, you can't take the key. I guess you can't take the keycaps off. You have to replace the entire keyboard.
Which is not user-friendly.
Yeah.
This is actually my dad's argument against modern cars. My dad's a big car guy. And he says he doesn't like modern cars because you can't take them apart and fix them.
You can't.
You really have to take them in to be maintenance-ized by the people. And they don't even know really what they're doing. Now computers are that way. The modular era that we all liked when PCs were essentially hand-built or could be is over for modern laptops. We demanded thinness, and this is what we pay for it.
Yeah.
Crappy keyboards with no travel and apparently atomic motes of dust.
Casey says this is a big problem. According to the genius I spoke to, it's the key most susceptible to acting up from that piece of dust. He said the Apple Store guy, not Apple. It's the issue on this computer. And I have seen people like tilt it sideways, blow air into it. I mean, you can sometimes do some triage, but it is a big deal. $700 to replace the top case.
That's prohibitive.
Yeah.
That's not for cool. A piece of dust.
I'm guessing that's a pretty but that's case, but
no, but this to me is part of the problem. This is the same problem I have with Adobe now. I think for a while, Amazon, for instance, really promoted this notion: customer comes first. We succeed when we super serve the customer. And I think Apple had that attitude in the early days. I'm still a big Apple fan, but I was a really big Apple fan back then. At some point, something happened in Silicon Valley, and maybe it was the profit motive, where companies made changes that were less customer friendly, like taking the headphone jack out or these butterfly keys, which I don't. Does anybody like these? You type a lot, right? You like this keyboard?
I actually love it. I type faster. I type faster with it.
I just can't use it. I'm faster. So inaccurate on it.
I mean,
it took me a while. There are people who like it.
Yeah, I like it.
But it's very polarizing because there are people also who just say, and myself, Andy, and Akko, I can't use it.
This one's better. Like, I had the MacBook before we tested the MacBook, and I used that for like 6 months. Even less than this.
Yeah.
I still like that one. I felt like I type faster. Right. I like this one a little better because it's, you know, there's a little more tactileness.
I actually stopped buying Macs.
Most people I know don't.
For me, a huge thing. I stopped buying Macs because I just won't buy a Mac. I bought a Lenovo ThinkPad.
Yeah.
Because it has a great keyboard.
This is why I run external keyboards both at work and at home.
That's one solution. But what's the point of a laptop if you have to carry it?
Yeah, the whole point is to have it on you.
Well, when I'm out and about, I use the laptop keyboard. But I mean, this MacBook, this is a 2015, actually has a pretty good travel on the keys. Like, this keyboard actually
is the last one.
I love that MacBook.
Keep that one.
I have not asked for an upgrade at work because I know how to type on this keyboard.
I missed that
computer. And I get paid to essentially.
I don't want to make this a slam Apple show. So I'll mention Adobe too. Because Adobe, as you know, Microsoft's done this too and is doing it. Stopped selling boxed software and started selling subscription software, the Adobe Creative Cloud. And actually, the photography subscription was a pretty good deal. $10 a month, you get Photoshop and Lightroom.
Yep.
So at Adobe Max this week, they have split Lightroom. Oh. There's a new Lightroom, Lightroom Creative Cloud. Oh. Costs a little bit more, keeps all your photos in the cloud. You have to specifically say, I want them on the hard drive if you want them on the hard drive. And they completely change the user interface. So much so that it is, it's just a different program. It's 100% different program.
And
it's designed for simpletons or normal people.
Like a Photoshop Express for Lightroom?
Yeah.
No.
Actually, you know what's really reminds me a little bit of what Apple did with iPhoto to Photos or
Final Cut 10
was the problem. Yeah.
It's a very stripped down. Now,
I was there for that.
Knowing that people like you and me would be upset, Flo, they released a version called Lightroom Classic CC. Which is, they haven't updated Lightroom. Last version of Lightroom came out in 2015. They've done some patching. This is the first time. Then it's faster. It's more compact. But the name Classic is really worrying people. Even though Adobe says, no, we're going to keep doing it. It looks like the future of Adobe is this more expensive solution that's designed to work with an iPad. It's very cloud-focused. It's designed to be easier to use. It's almost Instagram filter-like. And that's a different audience for Adobe. Mm-hmm. And I can't think that this is what their customers were asking them.
No.
I think they're trying really hard to appeal to a millennial user base. I'm sorry to do the low-hanging fruit, but I feel like that's what's happening.
Burke says it should be called Lightroom Bro.
I agree, Burke.
That's rude.
Hey, bro, we're going to put some filters on this photo that I took in Munich.
And then I'm going to do a keg stand.
Oh, yeah, bro.
In Munich.
Munich. I was there for Oktoberfest.
Yeah, okay, I was like, why are we going to Munich?
Bros, Munich, Oktoberfest.
Is that a thing?
It could be.
It could be a thing. All right. We'll give it a partial thing.
Am I crazy? And maybe it's just because I'm an old guy, and this is what you say when you get old. It used to be better in the good old days. But it feels like companies are
I'm there with you.
A little less customer-centric than they used to be.
Maybe they never were. I think to your Amazon example, I think Amazon still is. I'll give you an example. Amazon AWS. Amazon did this feature where if you don't use one of your AWS instances, they send you an email and said, you probably want to turn this off because you're not using it. They saved their customers over the past 3 years $500 million by turning off things.
I love that.
And it brings them back.
Because everybody else says subscribe and then don't mention it. Don't tell them they're subscribed. Don't tell them.
Exactly. And they said, because we're trying to build long-term relationships with our customers.
Yeah.
And that's, and we don't want somebody to pay for something where they're not getting value from us. So I think that it's not old-fashioned or out of style to, you know, take good care of your customers. I think they're, you look at, you know, they are eating up market share, you know, disrupting all kinds of markets with that approach, playing the long game. And so I do think that when you do that, you engender the kind of customer loyalty that will pay off in the long run.
Totally.
Even this if it's is where Bezos is a genius. He was willing to have the stock price tank. He was willing to have investors turn their back on him by not making money for almost a decade, right? Because he wanted to invest in what he saw as the future. He turned out to be right. Amazon is now hugely valued. It's price to earnings is like $800
or something.
But at the time, he had to borrow money. He couldn't raise any more money because investors said, you got to make money, right? I mean, you cover this.
Yeah, well, he is the honey badger of tech CEOs.
Yeah.
I think pretty effectively. But going back to the user interface changes and how it impacts functionality, I think there's kind of two ways that I think about it. There's the crapification of software, which is, you know, Final Cut 10, when it becomes the child version of it and everything gets worse. And then there's the Office 2003 to Office 2007 change, which was a dramatic UI interface reformation with the ribbon, but ended up making a lot better versions of Office down the road. So I think
people hated that ribbon, really?
My parents, who I still run tech support for, lost their, lost their stuff. I don't know, whatever that phrase is, because they couldn't take it. But by Office 2010, it was so much better than anything they could have done before. So I'm in favor of this sort of reformation and the complaints you get if you're actually increasing functionality, not taking it away.
That's what Adobe would say. Look, people are going to hate this because we're totally changing our software, but we need to move into the 21st century. We need to update this program, and we see this as the future. We see everybody wants their stuff on the cloud.
Right.
So we're going to take a hit. Apple's always famously done that, right? We're going to get rid of, go to Intel, get rid of PowerPC.
Get rid of the headphone jack.
Courage, my friends, courage.
So it's always okay to metamorphosize from a slug into a butterfly, just never from a butterfly into a slug. Both are changes, just don't go backwards. And it sounds like in this case, they have just made a huge mistake and made Lightroom bro.
It feels like Final Cut 7 to Final Cut 10. I think the one difference is the cloud thing.
Because, what does Ant say? Does he like it?
I think it's still, I think the jury's still out. Yeah. You know,
I haven't used it long enough to really criticize it, but when you install it and it says, I'm going to migrate your, this is a one-way trip, I'm going to migrate your catalog. Okay.
It's a Hotel California
and then,
of software.
For instance, normally in Lightroom, because it was about data management, it would say, where do you want to store stuff? How do you want to store it? Do you want your folders to be dates? What do you want to do? I'm looking for all that. None of that's there. The formerly 20 pages of preferences in Lightroom are now one page. And there's a checkbox that says, you want to store your photos on the drive too? I don't know where the photos are going. I don't know where. I imported photos. I don't even know where they are on my hard drive. But the idea is, you don't need to know. We'll take care of this. It's kind of Apple with the iPad. You don't need to know.
But you know what I hate using? iPads. You want to know why? Because I'm a power user, and I want this style interface with all the buttons because I want to use them. This is a cool device for on the go, but I don't want all my software to be this form factor, not that form factor. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is cool.
Even the Chromebook is like, limiting.
Yes, and I do not want to be limited.
No.
Because I am behind and I have too much work to do.
Yeah.
What device is that? I was going to see.
Oh, this is a Galaxy Tab S3 from Samsung.
What?
Android-based tablet.
Tab S3.
Tab S3.
How is it better than the Tab S2.5?
Well, this one has pen support now.
Oh, dang, she knows.
HD screen.
Pens.
I really need to never ask you
never
rude questions
pens,
about Android
like
because
pens.
You always know the answer.
Well, it is my job.
Yeah, I know.
Let's take a break. Come back with more fun panel. It's moving so fast. My head's spinning. I can't keep up. You guys are too brilliant. Smoke them if you got them.
Can we smoke on Twit?
Sure.
I don't think you're serious.
No.
Oh. No. Okay.
It's California, you can't smoke indoors.
I just figured I would ask. This is private
We'd
property.
Have to ask the studio audience to leave, to stand outside. You'd have to get me a gas mask. Do you smoke?
Yeah.
A lot?
No.
Just once in a while?
At night.
Only 12 hours a day.
I wear my sunglasses at night.
I wear my sunglasses while I smoke at night.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, John, let's turn on the smoking lamp then. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. When you create your small business website on WordPress, you suddenly give yourself a global presence. I know you think, oh, no, I have a Facebook page. That's a bad idea. How, you know, first of all, you don't own it. Facebook does. I have a Twitter account. Same thing. You should have all that, but it should all point back to your site, the site you own, the site you control, and that's at WordPress.com. Maybe it's too hard. You say, it's not. It's not. With WordPress.com, you don't need any prior experience. You don't need to hire somebody to do it for you. They guide you through the entire process. They take care of all the technical stuff. It keeps your site up and running. Look, I know how to set up. I ran my own WordPress site for years on my own host, but I use WordPress.com because it's so much easier. They keep it up to date. They keep it secure. You choose from hundreds of beautiful designs. And now with the business plan, you can install any plugin you want. You can install any theme you want. You're not limited at all. You could boost the automatic features are fabulous. Boost your visibility with built-in search engine optimization. Your customers will help generate business for you because every post on your site has social sharing, so they could say, hey, I really like this restaurant, share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter. And if you need help, they've got a customer support team that is the best in the world. I just love these people. I actually called them a couple of times because I had some questions. They're WordPress experts. They're eager to help you get the most from your site, and they're there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and on weekends too. Plans start at just $4 a month. There's a reason why 28% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. It's just the best. WordPress.com/twit. Start today. You'll get 15% off your new plan purchase if you go to WordPress.com/twit. My blog's on it, leolaporte.com. But also some of the biggest publications. Quartz uses WordPress. A lot of publications use WordPress. It's a really powerful tool. WordPress.com/twit.
28% is pretty strong.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It was 27% when we started doing the ads, so I take credit for that last word.
Good work.
Every place that I've ever written professionally has been on WordPress.
Yeah.
So I've been living the WordPress life.
Is TechCrunch on WordPress?
Yeah.
No kidding. I didn't know that. So they're probably on the VIP program.
I probably shouldn't comment on which package they use.
Yeah, don't
but
say. Yeah,
they're
don't
on
say.
WordPress.
Yeah. Yeah. WordPress.com. They're self-hosted?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Quartz is on WordPress.com.
I made type, they put it on.
You don't
internet.
Care, you don't know. Yeah, they have big server farms for big publications. I mean, remember when Quartz came out? Everybody said, "Look at this design, this is amazing." Yeah. And I'm going, "It's WordPress." I
mean, it's just a really clean WordPress.
It's a really
install.
Nice WordPress install.
Yeah,
Quartz is great though. The websites should look, quite frankly, yeah. They're a lot more readable that way.
I agree with you. 100%.
I read more on the internet now.
Well, the outline, which we just had up on Leo's big screen, mm-hmm. looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a similar sort of design that has lots of negative space, yeah. tons of room to read, and
I'm
focus.
Down for the negative space.
How is
That's
it
Bauhaus,
doing?
Isn't it?
How is it doing? This is Joshua
Topolsky.
Joshua Topolsky's next.
Yes,
right.
This is my next. Yeah.
Is it just him, or does he? And it's not just tech, right? It's culture. It's good writing. He's got great people writing for him. Some of them, I guess Casey's probably still at The Verge. He hasn't left The Verge, has he? Or
Casey Newton?
Casey Johnston. I don't know.
Well, was Casey Johnston at The Verge? I thought she was at...
No,
I thought Casey.
She was from Ars.
Oh, yeah. She was from Ars.
Casey Newton's at The Verge.
Casey Newton, yeah. You're right. All these Caseys. And Casey Newton's a guy.
Casey, yeah, yes. And very tall.
Okay, I was confusing him. Casey Johnston, who's a woman,
yes.
with Casey. Okay. Live and learn. Sorry, Casey. I probably said he a couple of times in there, did I?
I think you did.
I'm sorry. Apologize. Yeah, I think it's very nice. It's very pretty, isn't it?
Yeah. I wonder what they're running that on, actually, now that we bring it up. Why have to
Let's
WordPress
go to, the, go to the very bottom.
I feel like I've once again derailed.
About.
Doesn't say. They don't have to say, of course.
See, I want my website to look like
Me
that.
Me too.
Look at that.
I want Florida.
You know what I like when you put your pointer over their head?
they've got bobbleheads. I mean, how cool is that?
Those are good bobbleheads.
Also, the color scheme is really nice. It's very bold. You can tell you're on the outline. Like, I just...
That's some.
It really works
that's some,
for me.
See,
that's some
this
hot
is what
CSS
happens though.
Right there,
now that magazines aren't like a part of our lives as much as they used to be, we've taken all this design to the internet, and I kind of love how this has sort of transformed our internet into this really pretty place. It's not just. I mean, it's experiences now.
Okay, but
experiences.
Okay, but do you ever go to the front page of a website?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot.
You don't just deep link from Twitter or tech?
No,
or
every day, Jezebel.com. When it was my lunchtime, Jezebel.com.
Okay. I take it back because the only front pages I ever go to are Twitter and Facebook, and everything else is a link from Twitter, Facebook, tech meme I go to.
You're more common than
I thought deep linking was just, you know, you know, so here's an Engadget story on the front of Tech Meme. If I click it, I'm not going to go to the Engadget front page. I'm going to deep link right into that story, right?
Every publisher would love it if you would go to their front page and then click on two links. Really boost their page views per visit.
That's what I do because I know this is what we do for a living. So during my break, I try to go to the front page, see what everybody, my pals have been posting.
I know.
Nice.
What have those crazy cats been doing?
I like it.
We got to keep the ecosystem going, guys. We got to keep the wheels turning.
I even buy print newspapers sometimes.
Front pages this week. You inspired me to
just
click on some front doors.
Just put it in your lunchtime routine. I've got my 5-6 sites. Two of them are not tech.
You guys are really old-fashioned. Get with the program.
I bought a quarterly at the airport yesterday.
I still buy quarterly sometimes. I know. Too.
Well, like what? McSweeney's? What did you buy?
It was foreign policy, wasn't it?
Foreign policy.
I read foreign policy. That's 6 times a year, not quarterly.
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me.
I bought The New Philosopher.
Oh, that's sexy
which
annual.
Which is proof that I'm not cool.
The New Philosopher?
Yeah.
Man.
I was a philosophy major in college.
He's pretending.
Of course you were.
He's pretending.
I failed out of econ. What do you want? I wasn't good at multivariable calculus. Sorry.
Philosopher.
Excuse me, the shudders when you say that
Did
word.
You really major in philosophy?
Yeah, I went to UChicago for economics. I took prereqs first
year.
That's
a great school for economics.
I dropped out of economics because I hadn't taken multivariable yet. And then I was like, I want to write for the next web full time. So what can I take that doesn't have problem sets? And they're like, philosophy. And I was like, sold. And now I'm here.
So, interesting.
Still more useful than my journalism degree.
Yeah.
No, you're using it right now.
True.
Excuse me.
This
please.
Has been help and love support with Leah and friends. My mom doesn't love me.
I never graduated from college. I had to work in the dining hall.
But look at you now, Leo.
But he did go to Yale. Keep in mind, he was at Yale.
And my major, had I finished, I only had a year and a half left, would have been Chinese. So,
I mean, that would be really useful.
Now it would be useful.
You can learn the whole story about this, actually, in my book.
In his fabulous book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Leah Laporte story is included.
I'm chapter 8.
One of the 10. Chapter 10. You are chapter 10. Save the best for last.
No, I'm not the last chapter.
You're not. You're the 9th chapter.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I know.
Did you just fact check his book?
Yeah. You did. Thank you.
Did you write that book?
I did. Half of it.
On the second to last chapter.
That was the best 20 seconds of Twitter of all time.
Okay. And then Maya Penn is number 10. You're right. Self-corrected. Who is a amazing teenage, you know, phenom. Yeah. And so
I like it that you dug because you know, is Scoble in that book?
No.
You smart man. Dodged a bullet there, didn't you?
Sorry. I sidetracked.
When Leo said 45 minutes ago, it's going to get worse.
It's getting
that
worse.
Was the thing he was alluding to.
Is this happening now? Is it happening?
I'm just kind of slowly watching, you know. Yeah. I have one eye on you.
Followthegeeksbook.com.
Oh, thank you. Little plug. Follow the Geeks.
All fine bookstores everywhere online.
It's a great book, and it is the closest I'm ever going to have to a biography. So if
I don't know about that.
You're going to write your own? I'm going to write my own.
Are you going to write your memoirs?
I don't even care.
You're already planning? This is what happens when you're under 30.
I have to, Leo, because I have to outwrite my mother. She's going to write her own memoirs, too. So we're like...
Well, what's your mother's story?
Oh, she's going to write about her journey to America.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, she's been emboldened.
You know who I interviewed?
From where?
From Romania.
Wow, nice.
I love Romanians. It's two of my favorite people are Romanians.
I am one of them.
Three of my favorite people. Friday, I interviewed an amazing illegal immigrant. And he said, I said, you're an immigrant. He said, no, I'm an illegal immigrant. Philippe Kahn, the man who started Borland International.
Illegal alien.
He came to America on a tourist visa, stayed for years. Didn't have a green card, so he couldn't get a job. So he worked as a consultant. He had worked in Switzerland. He was a mathematics, master's degree in mathematics, and he'd worked with Niklas Wirth in Switzerland, the guy who invented Pascal. So he came to America. He released a $50 Pascal compiler that was 10 times faster than anything out there called Turbo Pascal, changed the world, then sold the company, went public, sold the company. His next company he did Sidekick too, which nobody, you won't remember, but if you ever used DOS, Sidekick was allowed you to do a calendar and a notepad. You're
good,
nodding,
not
right?
The phone, not the phone.
No, so. It was before the phone. It popped. It was a Terminator.
That was my first thought too. I'm like, I was there, Leo.
It was a DOS program that allowed you to multitask in DOS, which you couldn't, right? But you'd press a keystroke and it would pop up and you could do, it was amazing. And then he did Starfish, which did synchronizing technology that was adopted and licensed by many, many companies, sold that company. His next company, I'm missing one. Oh, Lightwave. He invented the camera phone. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Oh, is this guy on Triangulation or something?
On Friday, I interviewed him.
Oh, wow, nice.
He's one of my heroes. He's an amazing guy. But yeah, 20 years ago, his wife was having a baby, and he had brought his Star Trek phone. He thought, gosh, I wish I could. And I have this Casio digital camera, like crap, 640 by 40 digital camera. I wish I could. How could I get the pictures out of this camera onto the phone so that our friends and family could see our newborn baby when she comes? So he asks his wife. He runs downstairs. He rips the something out of his car, the Bluetooth. It wasn't Bluetooth, but the music player out of his car, and gets a soldering iron, comes upstairs. In the hospital room, he's soldering a StarTech to his digital camera.
Wow.
He has a server running, so he knows so he uses the connectivity of the StarTech to get to the server. He takes a picture. Time Magazine said it was one of the most important pictures of the last 100 years.
That is so MacGyver. It's
totally MacGyver.
Pay attention to your wife who's having a child.
Well, he asked his wife.
To be fair, she might not have wanted him in there.
Go ahead, distract yourself, honey.
Exactly.
I've got work to do here.
This was a wonderful short on Vimeo they made, The Birth of the Camera Phone. And Philippe says, it's so true. It's not only true to the accurate in terms of the facts, but they actually shot it in the hospital in the hospital room where I invented the baby. There he is.
Oh, I love that idea.
That's Philippe himself. There is the camera.
Oh, my gosh.
He's taking the picture.
That's incredible.
And that's the picture. That is
adorable.
That is the first camera phone picture.
Wow.
He then went to Motorola, licensed it. Almost every camera phone for the next 10 years was licensed from that company.
Does he just sit on a large pile of money?
He's not done yet. His next company, he invented, you've heard of MotionX, maybe you haven't, but you've heard of the Jawbone Up, the motion sensors in the Jawbone Up, he invented, licensed.
Dang.
Your Apple Watch, every accelerometer in your phone, that's all his invention.
I'm not sure what I'm doing.
I feel really dumb right now. Like I'm
the illegal immigrant. Wow. He's a citizen now, but at the time, he had snuck into the country.
This is America.
France.
You make that much money, you become a citizen.
Yeah, right.
He
sold the one of the companies. I think it was Lightwave for $300 million to.
That's how you do it.
Smarter than us, richer than us. Anything else? Yeah. Or is that a good enough list?
You know what? I have the wealth of life.
Yes.
Very good.
You should.
Very good.
You know what? Never compare yourself to other people because you're going to always lose. There's always somebody smarter, better looking.
True.
Than you,
it's
right?
Well said.
It's true.
You'll lose. We are all unique, wonderful snowflakes.
We are.
Yes.
We are.
And
especially
we all.
You, Alex.
Fox News calls me a snowflake all the time.
Do they really?
You get that joke, go outside.
Generically. Yeah. Pepe the Frog calls me a snowflake.
Every time you say go outside, I'm like, I get your joke. Should I go outside? I'm not leaving this table.
No, I just like whenever I make a really, really stupid joke, I think to myself, wow, I said that out loud. And I think if anyone gets that, they should go outside. And that's the whole thing. Sorry.
Edget 22. Made an amazing discovery.
Oh, my gosh.
She looked at Kentucky Fried Chicken's official Twitter account, at KFC, and noticed it followed exactly 11 people.
Mm-hmm.
Five Spice Girls and six guys named Herb.
Oh, my gosh.
11 herbs and spices. This probably is the most viral tweet of the last 5 years.
The Spice Girls would pronounce it herbs.
That's true.
Herbs.
That's true.
I've got 11 herbs and spices.
That is amazing.
Is that the social? Kudos to the social media director.
It's a Louisville company.
Good job,
Yum Brands. Actually, I know their social media director, so I'm going to ask about that because that's incredible.
Find out if he's the guy. That would be a great story. Is he the guy who thought of this?
It's a lady.
It's an Easter egg, though, right?
Yeah.
You do this and you don't tell anybody.
Amazing Easter
egg. You wait for somebody to notice it.
But you said social media director, which is the right thing. People were like, oh my gosh, that social media intern is so great. And then people that work in social media were like, not the intern. That takes actual thought, planning, execution.
Yeah.
Don't diminish the value of the work that just went viral and brought KFC, not just attention on social media, but right here. I'm now saying KFC, which I don't say ever, but good for them.
You'd have to, and actually Edget's pretty smart because this is the people that KFC's following. You'd have to kind of say, Jerry Horn, that's Jerry Halliwell. That was the Spice Girl. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Official Mel B, she was a Spice Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 five Spice Girls.
Who are the herbs?
And then Herb Scribner, Herb Wesson, Herb Waters,
LA
Herb
City
Dean.
Council.
Random Herbs. And Herb Appert.
All verified herbs.
He's a great trumpet player, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, they are all blue chicks.
All verified herbs.
Oh, they did all verified accounts, too.
All verified herbs and spices.
Well, you want to look legitimate, right? You can't just follow.
Because Milkshake Duck? your herb can become, if you've seen that thing. Oh, so Milkshake Duck is a meme. It says, like, oh, look, we all love Milkshake Duck. And then 5 minutes go by, we're sorry to inform you that Milkshake Duck is racist. Whenever the internet finds something that's lovely and nice, it turns out to be bad. So if you found a herb that was non-verified, he may become Milkshake Duck and accidentally racist, then KFC has to apologize, thus ruining the moment. So by following verified accounts, there's probably a lower level of that happening.
Yes.
Anyway, social media is hard, and that was hilarious.
Social media is hard. Kudos to anyone who has to manage social media. I can't even manage my own.
You're pretty good on Twitter.
So Milkshake Duck in the Urban Dictionary is defined as a person who rapidly becomes famous for something wholesome before they're revealed as a deeply flawed character with terrible opinions and or shady past.
Welcome to humanity.
Yeah.
Do you remember Ken Bone? Remember Ken Bone?
Yes.
Ken Bone.
Yes.
Ken Bone. And then
Sweater
all,
Boy from the from the debates.
All his adult video habits from Reddit were found out.
Oh, poor Ken Bone.
Yep, exactly. Don't become famous. Just don't do it.
Incognito mode.
Yeah.
Just don't leave comments on Reddit on porn under your own name.
Incognito mode. Yeah.
What comment do you have to... Anyway...
Are you ready for Samsung's Bixby on refrigerators? Will my fridge, next fridge, have a Bixby button?
Probably. It'll probably listen to you. Hi, I'm Bixby.
Do you, you know...
It's going to become a horror... They're going to do horror movies.
I don't want
movies.
My fridge to listen to me. I want it to make ice and shut up.
You know, shut up and make ice, fridge.
Come on!
You know the bad thing about the tech in refrigerators? So we have one in Louisville. We have the CNET smart home and the smart apartment.
Yeah.
And in the smart apartment, when it was built, you know, like 18 months ago, we put in the newest, like cutting edge, fresh off the, you know, the line refrigerator from Samsung. It's like, it's completely out of date now.
So 18 months?
So. Yeah.
That's a good fridge, by the way.
It is a good fridge.
I pressed the Bixby button right before you started talking about that. I got a video from Samsung about refrigerators and other devices with Bixby built in
Samsung
on my
Connect.
Bixby.
That's the app that
Brilliant.
You connect all your
Brilliant.
Connected devices in your home.
Then you have to agree that
you
I'm going to
pair your IoT
agree.
Devices with it. You can. I have
agree.
A Samsung robot vacuum.
You what?
Nice. You, nice. Can you call
does it
have
Bixby?
No, but you can control it with, I mean, I'm sure you can control it with Bixby. I haven't tried, but you can control it with Google Assistant and say, like, start a cleaning.
We're about to enter the war. I don't think Bixby is going to be a combatant this December, but Apple's HomePod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Echo has 18 different form factors.
Woo! The
Cortana. We've got the Harman Kardon Cortana.
I have one of those in my home, by the way.
What? How'd you
You're
get that?
You're the one.
That's the Invoke.
Well, I cover IoT now.
Yes.
So,
that makes sense.
Mary Jo Foley has one too, apparently.
I'm a little delayed on writing about it, though, because in all honesty, I haven't spent very much time with Cortana, and I had no time this week. Whatever, I'm a freelancer. Anyway, so I'm spending some time with it. I listened to it all day yesterday as I was doing my house chores.
Yeah.
And the music sounds phenomenal. Like, I love it so much more than the Google Home. But Cortana is, I don't know how to talk
She's
to
different.
It.
She's different, yeah. Interesting.
Like, I don't know what to say to it to get it to work. I'm still kind of figuring out how it works with my IoT ecosystem at home. I'm still figuring that out.
It's Hey Cortana and OK Google, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you can't say OK Cortana.
Right,
it doesn't
I know.
Work.
You
That's
can
my
say
problem.
Hey Google.
Okay, but I use Cortana on Windows 10 at home because I like Windows 10, and I had the same problem. I never know like what to do with it, and it's always in the way for me because I never actually can do things faster with it. I always want to use keyboards.
I don't think, Apple's done Siri on the desktop. I don't think speech on the desktop is really
hasn't.
A good idea.
Well,
in fact, the next Chromebook, the Pixelbook, will have a dedicated Google Assistant.
IoT. I mean, I just think about connected devices.
But
and
exactly.
Use...
I want to talk to my house. I don't want to talk to my computer. That's you. No, you nailed it.
But what if you're sitting at your computer? You know, I'm sitting. I work
no,
from home.
No, I just shout, turn on the lights.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's natural to talk to the house.
It is. It is actually more natural.
It's natural
it's
in
natural.
Asimov. But I don't know if it's natural in real life.
You've not been to my house. My house is very connected.
Do you not have an Echo in your house?
No. No.
I have a lot of them.
I will borrow
Me
one.
Too. I have a ton of
no,
and
I,
Google
I,
Assistants.
I don't want to have ambiently recording devices in my house ever. I'm sorry. I don't want that.
They're not recording ambiently. They're only listening for the trigger word.
I get kind of scared what Google's recorded me saying. You can go back and listen, by the way.
I can?
At, through a Google account.
/dashboard.
Well, listen to yourself. I can't listen to you.
You can hear what Google Home
Actually, that's
up.
A new Remember social media bug. Thing. There Share was... my... Google.
Is that like sharing your Uber score among your friends?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Kind of, but it's creepier.
We talked about the show last week, right? All the fact that the Google Home was accidentally recording everything.
Yeah, yeah, a journalist.
Yeah. By the way, they came to his house to get it. I was like,
yeah, Artem within an hour.
There's no way I would have been giving up that. Bill Detweiler, our managing editor, I talked about that. Like, that was the first thing we said. Like,
that's a scoop.
I'm not giving up that device. Like, you go and fix that. Find some other ones, test to make sure it's right. But I'm not giving this back to you.
But it was Android police. And if they wouldn't have shown up, that would have been on the website. And, like, they would have rallied. Because there's a lot of, like, they have a huge reader base.
But why? So, you know, from a journalistic point of view, why would you hold on to it? What would you do with it?
Well, because, one, you know, they're going to go out and do what they do, right, to find
cover
other
it up.
Ones. And yeah, I would want it still when they say, is this doing it? Oh, we fixed it. It's no longer whatever. And obviously, you can take other devices and try it. But I'm like, I want to hold on to this one because this one is evidence that there was some problem. Like, was it a hardware problem? Was it a software problem?
Apparently a possible problem with the glue that was used on the capacitive fabric that covers the top of the device. And so what it was doing is it was constantly engaging. Like,
it was as if you were tapping it.
Yeah, constantly engaging. So what they did is they disabled that in the software, which it's a bummer. I mean, now it's like, well, I wanted that. I wanted to be able to touch and do that. And now I can't. Yeah. It's a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer. At the time, we didn't know all of it yet. So, yes, I would have said, like, we're going to hold on to it and keep an eye on it.
Like,
and
know.
You know, and
it was nice of them to help Google out because Google obviously doesn't really want to send out a bunch.
Well, and I mean, but that's
pink donuts that listen to you.
You have
all
to do that
time.
As a journalist. You got to check in and be like, hey, so I'm comment.
But that's important. Yeah. It was a review unit.
That's
pre-production review unit.
That's right.
So
that's,
it really isn't in
true.
Theirs.
That is the difference. It's not one that they bought.
If they bought it, you're right.
Well, if they bought it, you can't take it back.
Well, Google could say, could we take that back and give you a different one so we could figure out what's wrong so we can fix it so nobody else has
it. I've got two
problem.
Middle fingers and an opinion about that.
You want to hear my last time I talked to my, hey, Google?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, here.
Uh-oh.
Can are you get my audio?
Okay, Google. Hey, Google.
And silence descends on the show.
never respond. That's it.
That's it?
And you hear the clicking of the clock, the ticking of the clock in the background? That's kind of a horror story right there.
So it turned on and recorded your clock? And
well, it's under my clock. It's under a cuckoo clock.
Okay, Google.
It hurt you.
I like the ticking. I don't know what's
this
going on.
This is like
on.
The ghosts of Leo past.
But that's but I'm point. Ghosts. I'm using this as an example to say that everything you do say is recorded, but you can. It's here. This is.
I don't want it to be there either. I want it to be nowhere.
Well, you can delete it.
Well, why does it? Can I auto not save it?
No.
No.
Here's when I said rabbit.
No, you can't do that.
Oh. That's TV. Setting it off.
Yeah. So now your TV can set off the recording thing that
all the time.
Uploads the audio from your house
all
to the internet forever.
The time.
No.
Burger King did that.
That's not an
Let's
argument
think
in favor of it.
Fun to do.
This is what triggered it.
Let's think of something fun to do.
Whoa.
All
right, Leo.
You have that's the second time today you've done a great impression of one today. It's fantastic.
Of who?
Well, she did the voice earlier that was hilarious, the accent voice with the review, and then that was good too.
But who was it a voice of?
It I was don't know,
it,
but it was
oh.
good.
Just make voices.
Oh, Time to Die.
Whoa.
Isn't that what he just said?
Oh.
Maybe I'm deaf. I don't know what's going on. I've lost control of the show.
Like, every time we say these, if there's people who's listening to this on their speaker out loud,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
when we say,
on.
Yeah,
you know,
and we're really sorry to everyone,
sorry
by the
about,
way, for doing that.
When we say, like, Elliot order paper towels, it's like we just ordered
Well, you shouldn't
10,
just do
oh,
that.
Oh, actually, don't do that, because it's very possible that could do, that could...
If somebody
Sorry,
hasn't
everybody.
Turned on
they'll,
their locking down pin by now.
Didn't somebody write you a letter a long
yes,
time ago and
I
said,
I bought a bunch of stuff.
You bought a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Did you feel bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was an accident.
But it was kind of cool,
no,
too.
So I'm curious. Like, should you feel bad about that, or is that just bad luck?
I didn't believe it.
Oh, okay.
I think that was just somebody teasing.
But I think it's a great prank to play on a friend
yeah.
while
oh.
they're in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Go,
yeah.
No. Let's talk about crack when we come back. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Oh, that flow, Florence Ion, at Alex Wilhelm, and Jason Heiner at Jason Heiner. And we're talking about a better way to invest. Betterment, they're the largest independent online financial advisor because, talk about customer-centric, this is a financial advisor that has a fiduciary responsibility to take care of you. They are a fiduciary. No commissions for recommending funds. They don't have funds of their own. They do what's right for you, and they do it at a great price. Betterment takes advanced investment strategies, uses technology to deliver them now to more than 270,000 customers who love Betterment. Here's what I like. Based on the information you share, they'll ask you when you first sign up, you know, what's your time frame? What do you want? Are you saving for a house, retirement, you know, college education? It'll make tailored recommendations like how much to invest, how much risk to take, the type of investment you should have. They have, by the way, and this is, I can't invest in them because the SEC rules prohibit me from doing ads and being a customer, which is interesting, right? But if I were, I would do their socially responsible investing portfolio. And you could feel good because the stuff you're investing in is making the world a better place. You can reduce your investment in companies that don't meet certain social, environmental, and governance benchmarks. But here's the thing. It's only 0.25% annual fee. Now, the nice thing is you get unlimited access to licensed financial experts, but for 0.25%, you don't call them, and I don't actually want to talk to them. You can text them, and they'll text you back. It's all in the app. If you do want to talk to them, I'm not a I want to talk to you kind of guy, to be honest with you. I'd much prefer to text with them. But you can, for 0.4%, get unlimited phone access. And again, these are certified financial planners. They are fiduciaries. They do not invest. They do not get commissions. They are working for you. Of course, the Betterment app is fantastic. Two-factor authentication, advanced data encryption. They're protecting your data, protecting your money, and helping you grow your savings. Now, investing always involves risk. So I want you to go there and find out more. In fact, here's something you could do for free. They will review your investments. Take about 5 minutes. Assess your investment accounts, your tax strategies, your fees, your risk exposure. Find out how you stand. Betterment.com/twit. That does not require a sign up. But if you do the review, I think you'll get an idea of how helpful Betterment can be at redirecting what you're investing. If you start now, you young people, you'll be way ahead of somebody who starts later. Just, it's the magic of compound interest, as Warren Buffett always says. Betterment.com/twit. Betterment, rethink what your money can do.
You should put the Betterment ad before the Rocket Mortgage ad so we can save all the money and then
and
buy
then
a house.
Buy it.
I know. I feel like it's out of order right now.
It's out of order. Nice. You're right. I've been saving to buy a house. You're right.
The chat room brought up that Amazon commercials don't set off the echo.
So yeah, how do they do that?
They must be doing some kind of filtering.
I think I read that they put a tone. They mix it with something to keep it from doing that. Because
really
in the early
smart.
Days it did.
It's really smart.
In fact, you remember Aaron, the guy from the kid from Breaking Bad.
Aaron Paul
did an Xbox commercial. This is the first time, to my knowledge, mm-hmm. this happened, that set off Xboxes all over the country because he talked to his Xbox.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, way back when. I don't think he called it a bitch. Right? Isn't he the guy who always said
yeah.
bitch? Yeah, okay.
I think so.
I think he is.
I stopped watching that show, so.
It's over now. You don't have to watch it.
Well, I didn't finish that show at
you
the time.
You finish it. You
what?
Should finish,
finish
it.
It. It's the
really
best.
Good, it's a really good story about just like a man's fall from grace.
It's the Robert Scoble story.
I haven't
See,
fi-
I told
I haven't
you.
Finished, I haven't finished it either, to be honest.
I knew it.
The somberness lasted for 4 minutes.
No, you should. It has the best season ender.
It does.
Or actually, series ender
yeah.
of any of them.
I saw some clips from later on. It looked fantastic. But like, I didn't want to go back and rewatch the first two seasons, the ones that I saw.
Yeah,
and then
I
like, there's a lot of... If I got sick for a week,
yeah,
I would love to do it. But I don't have... Yeah. No one here is that kind of
right,
that's
kind
of that's kind of where I'm at. Like I need to finish it, but I haven't.
Stranger
it.
Things gotta, coming back.
Oh, I'm gonna get sick
week.
For that.
I'm gonna be sick for that.
Yeah.
I'm not coming to work. Do you binge it the whole thing? You watch the whole thing, or do you?
No, you got to spread it out because you got to do like every night. You have to set up the ghouly candy and the ghouly decorations.
Perfect for Halloween, isn't it?
Oh, you're
oh, yeah.
fun. That's a great idea.
I put a red light bulb in my window and I hung a zombie. So like, now it's
wow.
like
serious.
I had
wow.
set it up with a motion serious. Sensor, so every time somebody comes up to the door, it like flashes red and like a sound plays. But I had to give some of that stuff back.
Wait, just, took it from the neighbors.
Zombie. Oh, no, no, no. I was testing some ecosystem stuff.
Oh, you are having fun with IoT. I get it now. Okay.
I know. It's a new thing to get used to me, because I was playing with phones for so long.
But. Yeah. Netflix says that they're going to spend $8 billion this year, and half of their content will soon be original content. They're basically giving up on Hollywood giving them stuff, because Hollywood hates them.
Yep.
Because they want money now.
Right. So they're taking, remember, raised the price about $1. They say we're going to invest all of that $8 billion in original films and anime.
Oh, yeah. Anime is a big deal, because right now there's just two studios that really have grabbed all the intellectual property.
Anime is popular with younger people, too, right? That's a good way to get...
No, it's popular with a lot of adults.
Adults, too?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't mean 12-year-olds, but I mean... Under 30.
Really, it's a giant... I mean, it's...
It's huge.
It's huge. Yeah.
When you get older, kid actually has a much longer, you know, I say this, we have...
Yeah, anybody over 50 is a kid to me.
we have journalists that we hire in their 20s, and I keep calling them kids, and I'm like, stop, you know, saying that.
It's rude.
Really rude.
I mean, I know a lot of 40-year-old men who, you know, are interested.
You're like Lou Grant now. You just call everybody kid. Hey, kid.
Hey, kid.
Hey, kid.
Get over here. I need you to do a story.
They're having a conversation over here. Are we keeping you? Is there... Share it with the group.
Oh, well, you guys were having a serious discussion. I asked, are there 40-year-old men who watch anime? And she said,
yeah.
And I went, okay. Oh.
My husband watches anime. Yeah. He's 40.
Okay.
Yeah. My good friend works for an anime.
I don't get anime, but I don't get comics in general. So
same. Okay. But Netflix I do get. And I do get that they're going with original content.
Thank you for bringing us back.
It really is. A golden age for original content.
It is amazing.
There are writers in in Hollywood, a few that I know, that it used to be, they used to have to beg people to take scripts.
Yes.
It would be like, please, would you look at my script? It's really, really good.
I even thought about it.
Yes. They scribble out an idea, you know, three sentences. They're like, I want to do a story on this. They're like, sold. They've got three ideas sold, and they're working on two scripts.
Yeah.
And they're just barely scribbled
it's
out in an
writers.
Email or whatever.
Yeah. I'm happy for it. A lot of people getting writing jobs now in LA, which is great.
Do you want to write a script?
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Do you have one in your drawer?
Oh, she didn't say does.
In LA, writing a script is like
you write another Gossip
San Francisco
Girl,
to app. Like you in San Francisco,
no, it's
you
a
go
space opera,
and there's like apps. You know, everybody's working on an app. Your waiter's working on an app in San Francisco, right? In Hollywood, it's like a script. Everybody's got a script, but and now they're getting them sold.
The scale of money here is really interesting. So, what we were talking about anime, I pulled up some numbers, and apparently HBO spent $2 billion on content last year. Which is a fraction.
Well, that's 8 billion, four times what HBO spent. And then Apple's saying, oh, we're going to spend $1 billion. I'm sorry, that's a drop in the bucket. You've got HBO spending twice that.
Yes.
You've got Netflix spending eight times that.
But I wonder how much of Netflix's stuff is actually as effective in terms of spend as HBO. HBO stuff tends to be a solid B+
and
above.
No,
Netflix,
no.
In my experience, and I love it, little lower average
quality.
That is a
subjective
level.
Opinion.
But, it is a correct
but
one.
But what happens is Stranger Things comes out this week. A lot of people will subscribe to Netflix at least this month.
Yeah, I'll go back to Netflix for this month.
Yeah, exactly.
Borrow my passwords, okay.
A significant number will... And Netflix knows, by the way. They see it. They made, for instance, House of Cards. $100 million to make House of Cards. They made 10 times that in new subscribers.
Oh, I believe
so. The economics work for them. And more importantly, they know what the economics are. There's no mystery. They can see the result. You know,
they have the data.
And that's where somebody like Reed Hastings really has an advantage, because he comes from that background. I think that's why, coming from a tech background in Hollywood, normally, you know, you're not a creative, but having the data and being able to use the data, this is where something actually surprisingly Jeff Bezos has not done very well. Amazon seems to have stumbled with its originals. They won a lot of Emmys. Transparent was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But that was it, right?
Quick question. Most expensive show of all time?
Game of Thrones.
Nope.
No?
That's what everybody thinks, and it's close. The Crown on Netflix.
That was more expensive.
That was more expensive than
Game of Thrones. Build Windsor Castle and Buckingham Palace.
They bought them. They're now leasing them back to the Queen.
So The Crown is the story of Queen Elizabeth. It's wonderful, yeah. And they haven't gotten through it. There's at least three or four more seasons,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's most expensive season of all time.
No kidding. I mean, it was $100 million for House of Cards. That means it was more than $100 million.
But well, Kevin Spacey has a big salary.
Right, too. But all this content is accretive over the long term. There's a long tail effect to this. If you build it, you own it forever. You pay for it once.
You nailed it.
And so Netflix here is dropping $8 billion this year. It sounds like a lot of next year. It sounds like a lot of money, but that investment will persist.
They'll be selling it again and again and again.
For
And they're caught between a rock and a hard place. In fact, I you know, as much as I admire Bezos, I think Reed Hastings is actually quite brilliant. He got dinged. He got a lot of heat and pushback when he split the company whatever happened. He was going to do DVD rental under Quixtar and then have a streaming company. But he knew there's no future in the DVD rental company. We're going to do streaming. He saw that happening. And then he saw the movie companies squeezing him on the cotton. Mm-hmm. They weren't getting first-run movies. They were only getting kind of crappy stuff. And he said, we got to solve this. We're going to do they were one of the first to do original programming. I mean, HBO's a content company, but this was a digital... They rented DVDs, and they turned into a content creation company. I think you got to give Reed Hastings a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah. He helped start it. I mean, I think Hulu had a path paved for it in that sense, you know. And
he was way ahead of the game, I think.
But you have to really be really fearless in a way to start a DVD business, try to get rid of it halfway through when it's still your cash flow driver, and then start spending billions of dollars a year on original content. I mean, that's amazing.
But he did that when Blockbuster was like we, the writing was on the wall.
But to us, it was.
And also, hindsight's 20/20. I think you're right. I think his courage, but that's what makes it breaks an entrepreneur, right? Is the ability to step up and say, I'm going to do the very, very risky thing. It's the innovator's dilemma. It's very tempting just to say, hey, we got an iPhone. We got some great success. Let's just keep doing that. Let's not take a chance.
And here in the content business, to be fair to Amazon, you know, Amazon is really in one business. They're in the delivery business. Mm-hmm. They deliver you goods and they deliver you bits. Mm-hmm. And they want to be in the middle of every single transaction on earth for those two things. That's why I said, and when we talked about it a few months ago, I think they eventually buy UPS or make their own delivery company delivery service, because they are all about delivering you stuff, and they can be in the middle and make a penny off of every single transaction.
And the original content actually isn't their business, is it? It's just it's really just a benefit for Prime members.
It is
actually to be fair. So.
I want to go into the accounting of Prime and figure out how they figure out cost per user and how that makes money or doesn't, because I would love to see the math there.
Yeah. Did you read Dogfight, the story of Amazon? And he talks about that. Jeff Bezos made it up. They said, we're going to do this. He's a brilliant guy. We're going to do this deal where you pay us a fee and we'll give you 2-day shipping and we'll absorb the cost of it. And they said, well, how much would that cost? I have no idea. I have no idea. He literally made up a number.
Four.
Well, it was, I think, 60 when it started, right? Okay. It's 90 now.
Yeah.
Or 50.
I think it was 80, wasn't it?
No, it was cheaper than that.
It was
80?
Was it 80? All right.
The interesting thing about them, you know, every time before they launch a product, you have to, if you're a product manager, you have to write the press release and you have to write the FAQ so that you're really customer centric about everything you do.
Isn't that brilliant?
Because then you work backward from that.
You know, I find information on Amazon listings more than I do on the actual website when I'm doing like product reviews. Sometimes I'm just like I can find, you know, the ounces and the size and like all those little things on Amazon, because they require you, for most of the part, they require you to send that stuff.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a bad third party store.
Before we leave the topic, though, there was one news headline that I did see. I think it was the last week.
Oh, yes, please.
Can I just read it?
Yeah. Go.
LinkedIn CEO says they're, quote, open to the idea of original video content.
Oh, my God.
How to apply for a job.
But this is just like putting stories in everything. Like, it works. It's worked for some companies. And so everyone's trying now to bandwagon on this. But LinkedIn does not need original video content any more than Excel does.
Reed Hoffman. Not Reed Hastings, but Reed Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn, is very smart. But LinkedIn, is he still running it, or is Microsoft now running it?
I believe it's still
Microsoft idea? Is this Reed Hoffman's idea?
No, the LinkedIn CEO, so still Reed.
Okay.
It's business-centric. So what you do is you would have all these business-centric videos to come out and like teach people how to do things, like how to write the perfect cover letter, or how to like increase your so-and-so in your CRM. I don't know, all buzzwords, buzzwords, buzzwords. And it would just be content like that. But business people love that.
Do you know, remember Jeff Weiner? Really? Jeff Weiner's the CEO.
Jeff Weiner's the CEO.
Reed is sort of like chief vision guy.
I apologize.
You know?
Actually, here's what's going on. And especially after the Microsoft acquisition. And this was, by the way, why Mark Benioff at Salesforce was so upset about Microsoft's acquisition of LinkedIn. He was trying to get LinkedIn, remember? Right. Because he's afraid. What's the value of LinkedIn is the data. Just as with Facebook.
Absolutely.
But this is even maybe more valuable than Facebook. It's what it knows about every employee, every CEO, every business person in the country is huge. And that's why Microsoft wanted it. They had a bidding war with Salesforce, and Salesforce is afraid that Microsoft will keep that all to itself.
And plug it into Dynamics CRM, which competes with Salesforce's core product, therefore slowing their growth.
So if your business is not a social network for job hunters, but getting as much data as you can about people, it might make sense to have other products that get people to use more, spend more. Isn't Facebook, after all, trying to say, we want to do, they're doing original content too.
They're going
to
waste another $1 billion on that. Yeah.
They're going to waste a lot of money. Yeah. And YouTube also, remember, wasted quite a bit, $100 million on original content.
But I feel like YouTube has had a shot.
Like YouTube that was their business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I think it might be a mistake. I don't know.
Twitter tried like NFL
still
licensing.
Doing it.
They just launched those new morning shows like hashtag AM to DM with what's his face from BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one I don't get because you go to Twitter's front page and you watch TV. Who does that?
No one.
Facebook is.
So right now it's the Walking Dead AMC red carpet. 29,000 people. That's who does that.
Is that a lot or not that many?
People love the Walking Dead.
There's more people watching this show than watching that show.
Right now?
Well, not right now.
But
soon.
and that's good. That's got right nav distro
on the
Twitter.
Front page of Twitter.
Somehow I've blocked that because I think I hid that and it's like it's never shown back up again. The live video.
It comes and goes. Well, actually, I see a hide button. So maybe
I don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it.
Yeah. The downside now is with Twitter's executive staff being so like observant about Twitter and complaints from power users. I feel like you can't mock Twitter now and not have Jack show up in your mentions like, hey, we're working on it. And you feel bad. He's been really active the last couple of days on the harassment stuff.
Yes. He's in fact, Twitter's announced. I gotta read these to you. Oh, it's new rules for harassment, and more importantly, the timetable.
Yeah, that's the show notes on this were great.
Next week they're gonna end revenge porn and hate speech. It's gonna take us a couple of weeks. What?
Wow.
So I don't know exactly.
It just works like that.
Yeah.
Well, you just wave the wand at it.
Yeah, you just click off.
I wish I could find. Is this in the show notes, Carson? You found it very quickly.
Yes.
There it is. Here are Twitter's in the new timeline. Here it is from Ars Technica. I just have to read you some of these because it's this feels like or I don't know. On October 27th, non-consensual nudity, like upskirt photos and hidden webcams, will be banned. Who knew they weren't? They will be.
That's the bulletin line about that one.
Now they'll be
a non-consensual.
That's a bad idea.
Non-consensual nudity as opposed to consensual nudity. Okay, this is the only thing I don't like about Chrome on Windows.
They have overseas, you have to have the camera app play a shutter sound and it takes a picture because people were taking so many upskirt shots.
I did know that and I hate the fact that.
Early next month, organizations and groups that advocate violence will be suspended.
Oh.
You got just a little word of warning. You got a couple of weeks. You might want to advocate some violence.
Get your hate out in the meantime.
Right.
Same day, hate images and hate symbols will be barred, including in avatars and profile headers. So those of you with, swastikas in your profile, you might want to, 11th. You got to 11.3. Same thing with unwanted sexual advances. That's going to become a rule of violation. But they're going to wait to November 22nd to ban hateful display names.
Just until the 22nd.
Well, I think they want everybody's going to do it for Halloween, and then after Halloween, then you start.
Oh, Leo.
What? Do you do a Halloween name?
I was.
You change your nick all the time on Twitter.
I do. But I was vacation Alex last week, so I was not doing anything, and then I was holiday name Alex before that, because I was not clever enough to think of a good holiday name.
So you had a generic holiday
name. I wanted to be participatory, but I'm not fun. So
was that for Canadian Thanksgiving?
Essentially, that and Leprechaun Day. So you kind of have both in reverse. But how are they doing this stuff? Is this all machine learning based? Is this by hand? How on 11.3 does the world change on Twitter, which has been a cesspool for the last 10 years?
Well, they say this won't be a quick or easy fix, but we're committed to getting it right.
That says nothing.
Yeah. One more, just so you know.
Sprint.
Right before Christmas, content that glorifies or condones acts of violence that result in death or serious physical harm will be banned. So you have till Christmas to advocate death.
I mean, we joke. I really hope this helps. Like, sarcasm aside, snark aside, if they can make Twitter a better place so that we all stay there and we don't lose this app that we mostly love and usually enjoy.
In a way, that's what's interesting. Is all this stuff is currently permitted.
Right.
This is all okay now.
Well, they were the free speech wing of the Free Speech Party, which worked for a long time until people have learned how to brigade, essentially, on Twitter and turn the openness of the platform against it, and therefore take what made Twitter beautiful to start into a poisonous environment.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Because, as we talked about in the car on the way up here, people are bad, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
The thing is, Twitter has, for a long time, leaned on this argument that it's a platform for free speech, as Alex is saying, but it's used that, I feel like, as an excuse to not do the hard work. That
you know what happened? The Arab
stuff.
Spring. So true. I think Twitter knew, I think Jack knew, Ev knew that there was a problem. But then the Arab Spring happened. And whether this is true or not, and I think it's maybe a little bit more myth than truth, the organizers of the revolts in the Middle East used Twitter to organize, to band together, to encourage each other, and that they take credit for the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
And that was, to them, the justification. See, free speech works because it can make a huge difference.
Look what we did.
Now, and they know there's a downside. But they said, so the downside is justified because we also give people without a voice a voice.
Yeah.
And even before that, it's true. Because even before that, in 2009, the Iranian presidential elections, remember, which there was massive
fraud
and dislocation. They were about to run a maintenance update. And the U.S. government came to them and said,
don't.
Please don't do that.
Put it off for a day
they're
or
like,
two.
They're like, there's like, it's too important. There's stuff going on. So and these activists, this is the only way they have to connect to each other.
They're swelling, right? And
we're
so
really
that's why they,
humanity.
Yeah.
Well, they actually were.
And they were.
And then
it's
it was
legitimate.
Used for evil.
And then it was used for evil. So you know what? I'm really glad I don't have to solve that mix.
It's
good. This is going to be super, super hard to keep the platform open for people who are serious and not horrible Nazis and to get the Nazis off.
I would disagree. I think the value you and I and everybody finds on Twitter has nothing to do with hate speech or Nazis or reprehensible speech or bots or any of that stuff. It has to do with people really talking legitimately.
Absolutely.
And the degree they can get rid of that stuff, that's how much better Twitter will be.
Provided they do a good job at excising the stuff that we all agree we don't have to have and we won't miss.
Don't you think what should be excised? I mean, No.
It's gray, but they painted themselves into the corner with all that free speech.
If it's gray, don't ban it.
Rhetoric.
I would say there's enough. The stuff we just described is not gray.
Agreed.
Ban that stuff. That will make it a better place. And it's not a gray. There's no gray area if you've got swastikas or hate speech on your page.
I'm agreeing with you. It's a private platform run by a for-profit corporation that doesn't make any money. They can do whatever they want with their platform. Sorry, that was a dick.
No, I know they can.
But
I know they can.
I'm not sure they're going to do a good job. And the problem is, if they say we're going to end certain things by certain dates, people expect them to pull through. And if your point about the gray area is their position, they will not ban or block some things that some people think do fall afoul of those rules, and they are going to get beaten up.
That's
again, Twitter is in a no-win situation with a hard technological and media problem at the same time run by non-journalists. It's going to be a mess.
You follow the stock. Didn't it go up when Jack made these announcements? Did that not?
That was last week.
Yeah.
I was eating pastries in New Orleans, not online. I was on vacay last week.
He was in beignet shock.
I was more a lot of like tarts. They were fantastic, but yeah.
I'll tell you, Monday I was in crack shock. Here we are for a decade saying, oh, no problem. You can use Wi-Fi. It's very safe. Don't use WEP. We know WEP's been broken. Wired equivalent protocol is not safe. But good news, WPA2, especially if you use the AES version, safe. Mathematically proven.
Yeah.
Mathematically proven safe. The math. And on Monday we found out, no, it's not. We had, actually, it was great, on Thursday on Tech News Weekly, we had Maddie, is it Van Hoven? Is that his name? The kid who discovered this. And he even said, it took me years to figure this out. He said it was mathematically proven solid, but I had a feeling. He found an odd bug. I think a lot of the reporting has been inaccurate, so I want to clear it up. If you want to hear the details, listen to Security Now on Tuesday or go to crackattacks.com, Maddie's website. It does not affect wireless access points. that's not where the patches have to happen. It's the things that connect to them, your laptop, your phone, your Internet of Things devices. Mm-hmm. That's where the attack happens. They can interrupt the communication, request the nonce three times, get the key, and then from that point on, intercept all the traffic from that client into the access point. So big deal if it's your oven. Bigger deal if it's a camera in your house. Or maybe biggest deal of all if it's your laptop, phone, or tablet, because they can see all the traffic. Now, if your traffic's encrypted using SSL, it's probably safe, although apparently there's some sort of additional man in the middle that may happen. So that potentially is problematic as well. If you use a VPN, you should be safe. And the best news is it's not a hardware problem. It's fixable, and the software fixes are rushing out. In fact, FreeBSD put it out before the revelation, which upset some people. People said, you shouldn't have done that. Now the bad guys will know what we're going to tell you on Monday. FreeBSD said, yeah, but people, we don't want our... So they,
that's a weird complaint.
Isn't that? Well, it's understandable. Yeah. That's how this thing works. We'll hold back on the revelation and give everybody a chance to fix it, but don't fix it too soon.
Oh, because they kind of broke the embargo, quote-unquote.
Yeah, it's embargoed.
Okay, that's fair.
So Microsoft didn't have to fix it because it turns out their implementation of WPA2 is flawed and doesn't have the flaw. They did it differently. Same with iOS. Nevertheless, there should be fixes coming out for both those. Linux has fixes. Most importantly, though, you want to look at fixes for your Internet of Things devices. when they come out. And Android, Google says it'll have it in the next security fix.
Yeah.
That's a couple of weeks. It's not somebody would have to be on your network or near your network. So they'd have to be sitting on
your
curb.
Be parked.
They'd be parked in your house.
Or their laptop.
On an open access point. It's kind of like you're on an open access point. Think of it as that way, that if you're using somebody's Wi-Fi, think of it as potentially open. So use a VPN or stay on encrypted sites and you're probably okay.
And 2017 sucks, man. It's like, this is like the Equifax.
That was my next question. Compared to Equifax,
how bad is this? This is like the Equifax of hacks, you know, or security vulnerabilities. It's like the hits keep coming in 2017. We need some we need some good news. But I think this is one of those things that you look and you just think, how long has this been an issue, and how long have attackers been exploiting it? That's a lot of times what I wonder when these really bad things happen. We don't know the answer. We won't know the answer for a little bit till researchers, you know, dig into it. But man.
So a security.
By the way, I have to correct myself. It was OpenBSD, not FreeBSD. But OpenBSD is the one that says we are the most secure, safe operating system.
Is security getting worse, or are we just hearing about flaws more?
It's getting worse, but partially. Well,
I think it's the same.
Security is getting better, but we're finally paying for decades of this of the tech industry putting so much emphasis on innovation and security being an afterthought. Mm-hmm. I think the products that are built today are better. Like the products built in the last few years are better and are more secure. All the stuff that's getting attacked tends to be stuff that was built before that in years often, and sometimes even decades, you know, before.
There's also a richer ecosystem of people trying to crack it because there's so much money to be made in bug bounties and in contests and pwn-to-own, things like that.
That kind of gets to your point.
A lot of people are trying because there's money. But all software has always been flawed, right? And the good news is, I think because of all this, we're getting better at making safer software. Windows is a very good example. Windows was a nightmare for a long time, but it got to the point where they patched it regularly enough, and they patched it and they patched it, that actually got very secure. In fact, attacks moved off of Windows to Flash and browsers and other vectors.
They had to find another way in.
They did, because Windows got pretty solid.
Yeah.
And now with Windows 10, it's fantastic. Like, I feel super safe in Windows 10, just running the stock antivirus Microsoft Essentials, whatever it's called, Security Essentials.
Yeah, I think you are safe enough.
Yeah.
The real issue is, of course, all those things, the plugins, the browsers, all the things that you use to get online, those are all vectors. Your email is a vector. And ransomware is really spread via email.
I mean, how long do we just presume we're always at risk? I mean...
You are always at risk.
Yeah.
Another thing that's made it worse is the NSA. So now you have government actors finding flaws, looking actively for flaws and using those flaws.
Yeah.
And then, like the NSA, not protecting them so that the equation group works can be leaked out and used by bad guys. And of course, that's WannaCry, the WannaCry ransomware used an NSA flaw. So that's another reason why it's worse.
And, you know, for all the rhetoric about North Korea, and North Korea is super dangerous and a lot to be concerned about, what they've invested more money in than nuclear warheads by some estimates is actually cyber attackers, right?
And thousands.
That's what scares
they're much
me.
Much more dangerous
that's
in
what
that.
Scares me.
This is a country that doesn't have public internet, but has thousands of hackers working on state-sponsored attacks against the West.
Possibly created WannaCry, possibly have created other...
I talked to a guy called The Radio Show. I hope this is a true story. I had no reason not to believe so. His name is Dennis. We've talked before. Last time we talked, he was... I can't remember where. This time he's in North Korea. I said, oh, where are you? He said, well, I'm a little north of Seoul. I said, how far north? He said, pretty far north. He's a cyber analyst. He's a government contractor. I'm sure he works for the NSA. Cyber analyst. He says, don't worry, I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm going to Ukraine. He's very excited that he's going to Ukraine because that's ground zero for all the Russian attacks. The Russians are using Ukraine as a test bed, and he's really excited to get in there and get his hands dirty on this.
We have a long form Dan Patterson did on that.
Dan was there.
He was in the Ukraine.
For the Global Cybersecurity Conference.
Yep, and he has some really scary stories. I know he talked about them last week.
He started and I wanted to get more out of
Yeah, there's if you're interested in this topic, read the stuff Dan Patterson's written on it. Also, Steve Ranger for us out of London went to Estonia in Tallinn. They did basically the UN is running all of these mock, cyber warfare scenarios. And Steve actually was an embedded journalist in the middle of, was part of the scenario. Because part of the scenario is what do you tell the public, right? If one of these really bad
challenges
happen.
It's challenging.
So so Steve then wrote a long form about kind of what they're doing and how they're preparing for this and the kind of attacks they're worried about and the kind of things that could happen. And so if you read those two things, you'll get a pretty good sense for, you know, what's being done to protect against these things and the things that, you know, potentially are the biggest dangers.
And Russians are doing things in Ukraine like, let's try cutting the power for 5 hours, see if we can do it.
That's tests
for other attacks they might perpetrate. So I think the answer to your question, it's both getting worse and getting better. It's getting worse, but we're getting more aware of it, and I think we are finally taking it seriously. Cyber warfare has been a real threat for years.
Yes.
We're clearly starting to take it seriously.
I feel like it's, maybe I'm hyperbole, but I feel like it's the biggest, for me, it's the biggest fear right now.
Well, I can come up with more if you need more.
I mean, it's a big fear.
Where do you get CRISPR starting to change your gene?
I'm just really excited that we have a president today who is up to speed on technology and
smart.
Really gets the threats of
the
digital
cyber,
world.
And he's got
That's
Barron.
What scares me. It scares me that, you know, we're hearing about, well, I mean, I feel like this is
there's a lot of mystery.
I don't know how political I want to get. That's why I'm sort of holding back.
I think it's reasonable to say that there, in fact, a number of people who were working on the Cyber Intelligence Advisory Board left because they said, we're not doing anything. We're not paying attention.
Yeah.
I think it's fair. They were all Democrats. But I think it's fair to say that I don't have a lot of confidence, not just in the White House, but in Congress in general.
Yes.
That they are doing the things we need to do. Maybe the military is. I feel pretty good that the military has the skills, the knowledge, and understands the problem. I just hope they get the tools they need. We don't need 10 times more nuclear weapons. We need a smarter military that is up to speed.
Is that 700 million going to go to that? I wonder.
Well, I don't know.
Which 700 million?
So speaking of Estonia, there's another crack. Yeah. So Steve Gibbs has said, you know, crack's bad, but there's something worse that happened. It's called Roka, and we're going to talk about that and why Estonia wants to recall 750,000 of its digital ID cards.
So not an almond Roka. That's not what we're going to talk about. That's unfortunate.
I wish we
no
were.
Candy.
I wish we were. We had a fun time this week, and we have a little show to for you to enjoy that highlights some of the best parts of this week on Twit.
Previously on Twit.
The ZTE Axon M. It's a foldable phone.
That's you.
Also,
no, are you going to get that?
There's no reason to use this. I love it.
I mean, like the idea of it.
Tech News Weekly.
Joining us is Maddie Vanhoof, the researcher behind the discovery of Crag. Are you aware of any tools that are actively exploiting this vulnerability at this point?
So I'm not aware of any people or hackers that are currently using this tool to carry out attacks. Making a program to carry out these attacks, it requires some technical expertise, so it could be, say, a few weeks before this happens.
Triangulation.
20 years ago, you did something really important that changed everybody's life, and it was at the birth of your daughter. Look at that. That's the first camera phone picture.
I didn't think about it with business. I thought about sharing, you know, with friends and family. Then suddenly a lot of people went back, said, how did you do that? Because they could see we're taking these pictures in real time.
Yeah.
People really want this. We better, this is our next business.
TWIT. Friends don't let friends miss TWIT.
Oh, so great to talk to him. We had a really big week. And if you want to see that full interview with the discoverer of Crack, Maddie Van Hoffen, it's Tech News Weekly. It's a brand new show. It's our weekly news show where we focus on newsmakers and newsbreakers. And it's really a great show. A great chance to see the people who are really making the news with Jason Howell and Megan Maroney. Our show this week. Oh, I love it. I get an Audible ad. Every week I say, I wish I had an Audible ad so I could tell you about all the great books out there. The Man Booker Prize just went to one of my very favorite Audible books. I highly recommend it. Man Booker is the British prize. In fact, there was some controversy because it's an American author. Lincoln and the Bardo. Have you listened to that yet?
No.
OMG. If you pick one, I don't know if you read novels or you really read nonfiction.
I read a lot of mostly nonfiction, 98% nonfiction, but I can be convinced. I do have one Audible recommendation, as always.
And we also have your book, Follow the Geeks, which is on Audible as well.
Of course. I actually am the reader. I was the co-author, but I am the reader of it as well.
So this maybe will help you be interested in this. Now the Man Booker Award winner, George Sanders. It's his first novel. He's in his 50s, but he'd written many, many short stories. Wonderful short story novelist, writer. Nick Offerman narrates it. David Sedaris, George Sanders, Carrie Brownstein, Miranda July, Lena Dunham. It is a full cast performance. Awesome. And read the book if you prefer reading, but this is a great Audible book. We're actually going to set you up with a free book. So it's one. Look, I'm going to give you way too many choices. Okay. So that's one. But given that he just won the Man Booker Award, and I agree, it is one of the best novels I've ever read, and the best, absolute best way to consume it is listening it to on Audible. So that's one. And then, of course, we got to mention Follow the Geeks. This is a great audio book. Your co-author, Lindsay Gilpin, you read it. And 10 Digital Innovators and the Future of Work.
A lot of names at TWIT. Listeners will recognize.
You'll recognize a lot of the people. In fact, there's the first review. A must listen for fans of twit.tv.
Did you do that, Leo?
And Jason's delivery is natural and conversational and accurate. They don't like Dan Patterson's version. They liked you.
Dan's the radio guy. It's just, I don't know.
It's a matter of taste, people, right?
Yeah, it's a matter of taste. I loved Dan's version of the book.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard you do it yet, so I have to listen.
You are the sample chapter.
Oh, well, let's listen.
Actually,
let's listen.
The beginning
Sit
of your
back,
chapter.
Relax, and enjoy.
Kate Patello's fingers dug deep into Leo Laporte's arm as she yanked him
Oh, wait a minute. I don't think that's the incident we want to talk about. So, Follow the Geeks, 10 Digital
What was going
perfectly
on?
Benign.
No, it was the first time at Tech TV started in 98. Kate Patello and I did the screensavers.
Yeah.
And it was the first time we ever did a public appearance. And when we started Tech TV, we didn't think anybody was watching. Nobody was watching. We weren't anywhere except that the Las Vegas cable company picked it up. So our first big audience was Las Vegas. So Kate and they said, we're going to go down to Las Vegas. There's a mall. They're going to set the cable company. You know how they set up tents and give away. We want to give away stickers. And we said, can we go? So, well, we never thought of that. Okay. So that's the point where we're arriving in the parking lot. Kate gets out of the car and she grabs me. She says, there are people here. There was a big crowd.
Oh, really?
It was 110 degrees. We were outside in the parking lot, but there was a huge crowd. It was the first time I think either Kate or I ever realized anybody's actually watching Tech TV.
There was no Twitter back then, so people couldn't
tell
you.
There was no way to know.
Yeah.
There was no way to... Yeah, you're right. No Twitter.
Because that's how I get immediate feedback from everybody and everything.
Now you know, yeah. So what's your book?
Yeah. So this book is Whiplash by Joey Ito from MIT.
I love Joey Ito. He's, of course, the director of the Media Lab. Or was director. Is he still the director
of the Media Lab. Whiplash, How to Survive Our Faster Future. It's about the rules for the digital age are in many ways so different, right, than traditional ways business and organizations have been run. And it's about, you know, how to survive in the digital age when things are moving and changing so fast that you have to move in much faster ways. You know, we think about this every day with, you know, trying to deliver useful information to people.
Constantly.
Right? And so it's very relevant to everybody, no matter what business you're
in. I think
we
all feel like we're getting whiplash.
Yeah.
Frankly, yeah. Trying to keep up. So here's the deal. Audible's fantastic. It's the best readers. Bringing to life the best fiction, nonfiction, classics. They have a great sci-fi selection. In fact, one of the things Audible did, and I really praise them for this, is they realized a lot of the great science fiction novels were never made as audiobooks because in those days they were just kind of pulp fiction.
Yeah.
So they went back, they created the Audible Frontiers program and recorded a great many of the classics. So you could pretty much get all of the classic science fiction. It's a great way maybe for your kids to get introduced to science fiction if you love science fiction, or for you to rediscover Isaac Asimov and Robert Heinlein and Larry Niven and, of course, the great Jerry Pournelle. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah. This new Leonardo da Vinci book by Walter Isaacson just came out. I've heard this is
terrific.
Can't
wait to read this. You know, he wrote the Jobs biography, the Einstein biography. He's a really great biographer.
Yeah.
And of course, Ron Chernow, who wrote the Hamilton biography, has a new one on U.S. Grant that's supposed to be fantastic. Mm. I like a biography. You like biography?
I do.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. There's so much. Look it. You can tell. The great courses are on here. Let's do this for you. For those of you who need two audiobooks to give Audible a try, what we're going to do is we're going to give you the Gold Plus One plan. You get two free audiobooks. That's good. We've gave you like five. Pick two. Two free audiobooks to try out. And then after that, one book credit a month. So we kind of jumpstart you with two right off the bat. I know you like podcasts, you're listening to this, but you may not know if you're going to like a book on audio. You will, but just in case, it's a great idea to try before you buy. Go to Audible and pick a couple of books and enjoy. And as with all the other plans, you get a free subscription to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times Daily Digest. The offer is good in the U.S. and Canada. I should show you. I mean, I have to. You see, I just got two credits. I get credits on the 22nd. Oh, I'm not logged in. Too bad. I was going to show you my wish list. I have so many books on here and so many that I'm listening to. I just love it. Audible. Go to audible.com/twit2. Get two free audiobooks with their 30-day free trial. Audible.com/twit2. We always do really long. Oh, wait a minute. Is that a new Tom Hanks book about typewriting?
Yeah.
What? Tom Hanks' hidden talent.
I don't think he narrates it, though. I was just reading over your shoulder.
It's read by Tom Hanks.
Oh, it is. Well,
it's called Uncommon Type. Some stories, 17 short stories written by Tom Hanks.
Wait, it's fiction?
Yes.
Ooh,
it's about Eastern European immigrants.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Peter Scolari's in this. Lots of other people reading. Wow. That's what I love when Audible does those dramatizations. Those are so great.
Yeah.
All right. Enough. We clearly love Audible. Audible.com/twit2. So I've been promoting this. In fact, when I was in Estonia last year, I almost got one of these. I think this is such a brilliant idea. They call them their digital identity cards, their e-cards. They have a chip on them. You have your public key on it. So you can use it to verify your identity. I mean, it's a really powerful technology. And anybody in the world can get it, except... I guess this is an Infineon chip, because it turns out Infineon chips have a bug that allows an attacker, if he has your public key, which is the key you give out to everybody, to deduce your private key and from then after decrypt all the traffic to you on PGP and other key RSA keys on public key crypto. It basically breaks public key crypto.
It's 2017. We just can't have nice things.
Steve Gibson says this is more serious. TPM modules in Windows machines, they have the Infineon chip. So they have the problem. This is fairly widespread. It's difficult to fix. Millions of keys are crippled. This didn't get as much attention as Crack, and I'm kind of surprised. Maybe it didn't have as good a name. But, you know, we were worried that public key crypto would be broken by quantum computing. We didn't think it would
be broken so soon?
Broken by a bug.
Yeah.
It's in a RSA library developed by Infineon 1.02.013. If you use, as I do, OpenGPG to generate your keys and software, you're safe. If, however, you used a YubiKey, which can generate PGP keys, earlier this year, they fixed it. But any key, I think, before July of this year has that flaw, you're going to want to generate new keys. It's a pretty scary thing, and it's hard to know how what your keys are and so forth. So there is a site you can go to figure it out. But I just wanted to let you know, we're talking about crack, but forget crack. We got Roca.
Almond.
Roca. See, if he'd named it Almond Roca.
That would have been amazing.
He would have better SEO.
A tasty treat, but bad news for your security.
Much
up
better.
Next on the news.
Better SEO.
That's not really SEO per se. It's just good naming, branding.
It's just my
everything's
just
SEO
everything's
now.
Everything's SEO now.
Everything.
Publishing.
Oh, gosh. I'm in charge of SEO. It's bad.
The Senate has announced a bill called the Honest Ads Act. Mark Warner, Amy Klobuchar, and John McCain, the sponsors. This would be to, you know, in response to the illegal ads on Facebook from the Russians. Two Democrats, John McCain, obviously a Republican. It would require tech giants for the first time to make, and I think this would solve it, by the way, to make copies of public of political ads public, and the information about who those ads targeted. That's all you have to do.
It's smart. And Senator Mark Warner, who I've actually interviewed before, is at least by Senate standards very tech competent. Mm. And so it's fun to see his name on this because it implies there's probably some intellectual heft behind the movement or the idea. Mm-hmm. And then it may actually get out of committee. So I think this is cool and slick. Facebook won't like it, but
yeah,
boo-hoo.
It's good to hear.
Well, look what happened, Facebook.
Yeah. You made all that money and then democracy died.
I think at this point, Facebook, which had been denying it for so long, is going to have to say something. They're going to welcome this. We'll see. They may lobby against it. But I think they're going to welcome it because they know they need to have to do. They have to do something. They cannot just let this sit. This sat for too long.
And they don't know what to do. Is the inside Facebook, like, by all indications, they are just not sure.
Listen, Mark Zuckerberg wanted to get some chick's number, so he created a social network.
That is not true. That is a movie written by Aaron Sorkin that is not related to the truth.
And Leo is here to set the record straight.
He was with Priscilla
about his favorite nerd.
He was already dating his future wife and mother of his children. He was not looking to get kissed. He was very happily dating.
And he's not that awkward in real life.
Yes, he is.
His PR team said so.
He's totally awkward.
Yeah, that movie was really good, by the way.
I loved the movie.
I turned it off after 2 minutes.
Really?
You know what's better than $1 million?
Dramatic.
The opening scene when he's being awful and she's like, oh, you're awful. I was like, yes, he's awful. I just turned it off.
There's the famous, every geek movie has to have it now, a guy writing mathematical formulas on the window.
Mm-hmm.
Or a mirror. It's just, you have to. And then the best part is the end, where he just keeps hitting refresh because he tries to like the girl who wouldn't kiss him, and hoping she'll accept his friend request.
We've all been there, Leo.
That's how the movie ends. He's hitting the refresh button. The whole thing's a fiction, but it's dramatic. Aaron Sorkin's
I watched
Facebook
The West Wing.
Dramatic.
You know what's better than $1 million?
Not
a billion
using
dollars?
Facebook free, you know, advertising, honesty in advertising.
Oh, $100,000 in Russian ads.
Bringing this back to the topic, Facebook has been running a very broad ad campaign on major media sites like Washington Post, I think Politico as well, saying that they're like, Facebook really cares about elections integrity. And I'm like, 6 months ago, you were like, we had nothing to do with that.
Well,
but
if they cared about election integrity, they'd get down on the ground and, you know, help those people who.
The point, though, I think is very important. We are 1 year away from the midterms. We are three years away from another presidential. They have a year to fix this. They've got less than a year. They've got 6 months to fix this. I hope this Honest Ad Act passes because that's the right way to do it. If it's in public, they may be buying the ads, but at least it can be exposed. People can write about it. They can say, you see what your people are saying. Right now, these dark ads, the only people see it are the targeted people.
Which will never be us because presumably they're micro-targeting this. So the chance that we actually see these is quite low. Also, don't use Facebook.
You know, I took it off all my phones, and my life has been 100% better.
I took it off, too, although yep. I don't really know what's going on with some people. Like, I haven't seen some kids.
That's why I didn't take it off the computer. I didn't get rid of my account.
I check in, like, once a week, but...
Yeah, I go on the computer.
I do the same. It's a lot better. Yeah.
Just don't have it on your phone. What happened is I was up at 3 in the morning looking at Facebook, and I thought, oh, crap! So at that moment, I deleted it. I also deleted Twitter.
Whoa, okay.
Hang on. Hey, wait a minute.
I mean, that's not
I know,
Instagram.
Right? First thing in the morning, flying last
blind.
Thing at night.
Yeah. Twitter and Instagram are back, I confess.
Yeah.
Those are the two I use mostly. Yeah,
Instagram's just pretty pictures. I'm still
There's
mixed.
No link guilt.
I still use Snapchat, Alex.
Yeah. I love Instagram.
I don't snap anymore.
No link guilt.
You don't snap?
No. You're on Snap.
I used to snap with my brother-in-law. We used to snap back and forth to stay in touch because we're both bad at that. But then it was too complex and it was hard and I didn't want to, you swipe and then things happen. And I didn't know.
Oh, man, my Snapchat is...
You are old now. If you
I am 1,000 years old and have been really for a while. Old.
You're missing out on all my singing.
You know what I realize? If you don't have Twitter, you don't know what's going life. On.
Yeah.
Twitter is the place you go if you hear somebody died, if you say, my poor wife, I wake up in the morning and go, oh, God. And she said, are we at war with Korea?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's poor Lisa. Current. I mean...
But you kind of need to check, don't you? Yeah. Right? Instagram, I probably should get rid of that. But it's easy to get rid of Facebook.
Instagram is nice, though. It's like no link guilt. That's why I like Instagram.
But I still get FOMO.
FOMO is a big problem.
Well,
my problem with social media in general does not make you happier. It makes you unhappy.
No, it makes you super unhappy.
Use Instagram like I do. Use it to store photos of your life that are happy.
I do that.
Don't read your feed.
You don't actually use it then.
I try
you just
to not
post on it.
No, I'm saving these for me. These are like little memories that I want to hold on to. It's a great platform for that. I don't need to see the fact that you had crab for lunch because I never liked you in person. You're even worse online, so go away.
Firefox NX says FOMO, fear of missing out. It's the story of our life.
Yeah.
Or YOLO, you
it's the
only
human condition.
Live once.
It's the human condition, yeah. Really, that's, when you think about it.
Actually, you know
Did
what the best thing
YOLO
for that
FOMO?
Is? The mute feature on Twitter is
mute
like the
people.
Best because
they don't
it's
know
so
they're
great.
Muted.
It's the perfect way to like be cool with somebody but like not have to listen to them.
Yeah. And then some apps have time
I need that
to mute,
on Instagram
right?
too.
That you can mute a guy for a day. Twitter doesn't do that, but I think some apps will let you mute a person for like a period of time.
I'd love that. Like, during a baseball game, I could be like, "Ooh, I don't like any of you."
Yeah, I don't care about you Yankee fans.
Are you an Astros fan?
No, in fact, I'm embarrassed to say, I asked Jason before the show, wait a minute, the Astros are in the National League? And he said, not anymore.
2013.
I was so confused because I thought normally the World Series is an American League team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a National League team. But the Dodgers are a National League team and so are the Astros, but apparently not.
The commissioner's going, when we moved you over in 2013, we didn't expect you to make the World Series. This is causing us some problems.
See, this is what's wrong with the world. Baseball should never change. They should still be wearing heavy wool clothes, little flat caps, and the ball should be soft. They should never change. They should be hitting with a broomstick practice. They shouldn't change this. It was good enough for Babe
You can
Ruth.
Only have one shoe and you have to run backwards on Tuesdays.
Do you ever see Field of Dreams? Field of Dreams. That's,
of course. Yeah. If they build it. If you build it, they will come. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this would be a very apropos moment to bring this festival to a close. I hate to do it, but...
That's a bummer.
I know. Have we not been having fun?
We've been having
fun. Yeah, this has been fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
This is the funnest shoot that I do, I think, in terms of just like getting space to just talk about stuff and tell jokes.
Instagram, I get jealous. You take these pictures of the microphone as you're about to do your podcast. It makes me jealous. I say, he's seeing another podcast. I hate that. So what is that podcast you do?
I'm on a podcast called Equity with some TechCrunch people. It's about venture capital and startups. It's
nice.
Super nerdy. So if you're not into that specific niche, don't listen to it.
It's for finance nerds?
It's for tech finance nerds, yeah.
Equity Podcast, techcrunch.com.
I was not on last week because I was in New Orleans, but I'm on the rest of them.
Oh, you do it with Katie Roof.
Katie Roof and Matthew Lindley. We bring on a different VC most weeks, and we talk about the news of the week. But it's short form. It's like 20 minutes. So
what do you think of Magic Leap getting another $500 million?
He was just pointing at my screen.
Yeah, I was. So Magic Leap, for people who don't know, is a mixed reality platform that has raised billions of dollars and has not released a product
publicly. It's a vaporware platform.
That's what people say, but people who have used it claim, often on Twitter, that it's going to be fantastic. So
Have you used it?
I was here with you.
Wait, Magic Leap? No.
Magic Leap. We've never used Magic Leap.
Oh, sorry.
No, I know people like Kevin Kelly who've used it. Sorry. Kevin wrote a rapturous description of it in Wired.
So it's either going to be the most amazing smash hit, given the amount of money and hype that's gone into it, or it's going to fall flat, kind of like, I don't know, spectacles or whatever.
I'm waiting
else.
To hear what Snapchat. Robert Scoble thinks.
Oh, ouch, dude.
Sorry.
What did Robert say? Oh, Leo.
I had to get his name in one more time.
2 minutes ago was the moment to end the show, and somehow we ended up right
now.
No, back
so, but I think it's interesting because they've raised how much total? Billions.
They just confirmed $502 million.
Another $502 million.
Wow. Series D.
Yeah, so that means they've raised. And is there an end in sight? Is there a product?
Not
in
that
sight?
I've heard. They've raised, looks like $1.89 billion
Holy
today.
Holy cow.
A theoretical elephant in your hands at this point.
Yeah.
But I can do that with AR kit for free.
It's worth $2
billion. True.
It's an interesting, we actually talked about this with Philippe Kahn on Friday. There's a lot of money out there being thrown at companies like Uber that have never made any money, like Magic Leap has never even made a product, because you got to invest somewhere. And if you hit the next big thing, which both of those potentially could be, there's big returns. But these are big boy and big girl investors who know enough to know that in all likelihood, you're not going to make money.
No, that's actually, I don't think so in this case. If you write a check for more than $100 million, you are not gambling in that way if you're an outside investor. A $5 million Series A check is a gamble. A $1 million seed check, complete wager.
And is this because they guarantee they'll get paid first?
No, just everything's more mature. If you put money into a Series C enterprise SaaS corporation, you see their cash flow statement and their growth. You kind of have a good picture of them. Magic Leap should have proven tech they can use now to show people and say, look.
I wouldn't put in $500 million unless I saw it.
The investors do get to see it. I mean, if the investors are putting money in sight unseen literally, then I'm done with planet Earth and I'm moving to somewhere else.
I think they might be.
Theranos, though. I mean.
Theranos, good example. How much did they raise? More than $1 billion? Uber, there's no mysteries about
Crunchbase
Uber.
Guy, I'll get us the numbers.
686.3. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to say that, but yes, this is what I'm using. Yeah.
That's where you'll find Alex at crunchbase.news, and it is always a pleasure. This is his product, editor-in-chief there, and it's going well?
Of the news stuff, yeah. The data on the main service is not my domain, thank God.
No, you don't do Crunchbase, you do the news.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's going okay.
Good.
Yeah, I really love watching you work, Alex.
Well, that's very generous of you and very kind. Thank you.
What, do you have a window in his office?
Well, he tweets very smartly, and I just, I read your articles. And,
If you're not following these guys on Twitter, you're missing out. That's that's one of the keys to getting a great Twitter feed is following people like Alex.
Yes.
Oh, that flow on Twitter, Florence Ion. You'll see her every Tuesday on All About Android, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And maybe Tuesday you'll have a Pixel 2 XL.
I hope so. Off. I'm trying to borrow one from my pals at Android Authority, so we'll see.
I'd love to see it.
Now if I put it on video, maybe
they have to
borrow it.
It's a thing now. Yeah.
Friday, are you all getting up at 12:01 a.m. to order an iPhone 10?
Well, not me.
Only 1 million, according to the supply chain. 1 million in stock.
Hey, that's more. Isn't that more than how many Pixels sold?
Yeah.
Or something?
It's also 20,000 times as many as the Essential sold.
I'm sorry, 3 million.
Yeah, 3 million.
3 million at launch.
Man, it looks so good there.
Now, I figure probably 3.1 million people will hit the Apple servers at 12:01 a.m.
Yeah.
So I just have to get there early.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do have a scoop though.
Ooh.
We will have a review and a unit on November 4th when they if you get there in time, I might get one. I'm hoping I will, but we have guaranteed a unit, an iPhone 10 for the new screensavers. We'll have a review and a unit on November 4th.
This is the best thing I've seen in some time.
Now, you've got a sparkle back.
I do.
This is my phone. This is the
We've talked about this before.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw it. I'm blown away.
No, this is a new one.
But be careful because you know that there was a whole case of these the liquid coming out and burning people.
She's not worried. Yeah, I paid $7 for this.
She's
this
not worried.
Is less than the case
I bought
one.
It on Wish.
But it's a water-resistant phone, so
I came so close to buying one the last time you were on. I came this close.
It's water-resistant. Does it have a headphone jack?
Yeah.
It's not fully water-resistant then.
Liquid.
That's what Apple says.
Yeah, they're wrong. I got plenty of IP68 phones that have a headphone jack.
Are you going to scare me off liquid glitter cases now? They're like the thing keeping me going.
Multiple reports of chemical burns. John has brought me my case for my Pixel. When
XL,
I get it.
The You get the live case.
Yeah, isn't it? I hate that. Apple does that too. Oh, an Apple delivery is coming, and it's the plug. This is my
such a tease.
This is my well, at least you know I know how big the iPhone 2 XL will be in my hand.
Wait, the iPhone 2 XL?
And the case has me on it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Trapped.
Oh my gosh, trapped under the desk.
I can't decide if I love that or not.
Doesn't it have another button? I tried this with one of these.
No, this isn't one of those. They don't do those anymore.
That was a 6P iteration.
Well.
Okay.
They never worked.
Okay.
So that's what it's going to look like with the Pixel 2.
It didn't work.
I might have the famous clear Pixel 2. You just wouldn't know. And thanks so much to Jason Heyer, Tech Republic. Don't forget his book, Follow the Geeks, at followthegeeksbook.com.
Yes.
And of course, you've got to read him. Tech Republic. What do you got coming up? Anything exciting?
Yeah, so on Tech Republic, of course, you know, everybody in this industry is trying to keep up because it moves so fast, and we wake up every day trying to help people make good decisions about technology and be smarter about what they buy and how they use it and all of that. And so we have lots of good stuff there, and if we're good enough and helpful enough, then we get to come to work tomorrow. So that's what we do.
And you got the great Dan Patterson writing.
Yeah, Dan Patterson. I was a fan for a long time before he was writing for me. And come and check out the great stuff he's doing. He's kind of like our anchor. He talks to all of our journalists. When we go, you know, a lot of our journalists would go on shows like this and others. And we pretty much realized, like, you know, we need to do this ourselves. We need to actually interview our writers about their stories so they can add some color to it. So a lot of what Dan does is take all the writers and talk to them about the story and do like a 2-minute clip.
That's nice. And that's on Tech Republic. We can watch that.
Yes.
Good. I like that idea. Yes. You're smart. Get those newsmakers, newsbreakers, we call them. We do This Week in Tech every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2200 UTC. Please come by, join us. Watch live. You can be in the studio if you just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a seat out for you. We thank you. It's always nice to have a live audience because it gives it a little excitement. Yes. So we more than welcome you. But do email us because we're not open every day and we want to make sure we expect you. So we don't want any surprises. So just don't show up. Tickets at twit.tv. You can also watch the live stream and you don't have to have permission for that. Just go to twit.tv/live. And if you do that, please be in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. That's kind of our virtual audience that's always here. In fact, when I go home and I don't have a chat room to look at, I don't know what to do. Should I eat this egg? Should I not? Where's the chat room?
I don't know. Twitter's for.
Oh. Twitter's IRC for the post-IRC
era. Yeah, exactly.
It scrolls too fast, actually, Alex. I can't keep up
with it. And we're always on it.
It's bad.
If you can't watch live or be here live, you can always be here on demand. It's easy. Whenever you want to listen, just go to twit.tv and download a copy of any of our shows, audio and video. Don't forget, we do video if you want to watch. You can also use one of the great Twit apps. There's a ton of them, and that means you can watch on your big screen TV or your, you know, anywhere you want to be. And if you subscribe, and you can do that with any podcast app like Overcast or Pocket Cast or Stitcher or Slack or iTunes, if you subscribe, you'll be sure to get every episode. Your first podcast of the week is The Last Word in Tech News, This Week in Tech. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in
this
the can.
Bye bye. Amazing.
I almost forgot how I end the show.
Yeah, I was like, I'm waiting for the words.
I almost forgot.